everybody, and welcome to episode 565 of Vidyagame Apocalypse. I'm your host, Michael Raparez, coming to you from the Sarah V. Memorial Studio of the Airwaves. If you want to be the U Memorial Studio of the Airwaves, go to patreon.com/lasertime and join us at the $20 level or the $5 level if you just want access to bonus shows. Yeah. Who's joining me now?
R.I.P. Rail Cannon, Chris Antista. No, wait. That was a shout-out to my Helldivers. I had my real nickname prepared days ago. You ready?
Okay.
So, cue me again, but then leave all this in.
Who's joining me?
It's funny you should... Cerveza Crystal! Cerveza Crystal!
And who else?
Nobody does it like Sarah V. Matthew Allen.
You know what? What impresses me the most about the Cerveza Cristal thing is, like, that sounds exactly like every mainstream American beer commercial I've ever heard.
It sounds like the Budweiser guy.
But and it's weird. It's like, it's not that, like, I expect something necessarily different from a foreign country, but it's just like that particular, like, generic country guitar rock sound.
Anybody can sing like this!
It sounds like America's Heartland. It's just so
real
ingrained.
American heroes.
Exactly.
Like, what were you expecting, Michael? Like, Tejano music?
Because it's in Spanish. No, anything else. Literally anything else. You can't imagine a beer ad sounding like that in, like, the UK or France. Like,
if you don't know what we're talking about, people, please look up Chilean Star Wars ads where they ultra dynamically, to make Star Wars commercial free, had the Emperor conjuring crystal beer.
Yeah, Cerveza Cristal.
Yeah, and apparently, so the funny thing is that, well, one, Star Wars fucking sued the shit out of them. Like, you can't do that. But they did that, at least had it planned for more movies. So sure. I really want to see what that looks like, because it is definitely absurd and out of place in Star Wars, but, like, what if they're running, like, Schindler's List? This is 2000. Yeah. It could have been anything.
I mean, if you don't know, I can only assume you're not tied into any social media, because this stuff has been flooding my Twitter timeline, people coming up with parody. IGN did a parody with Link pulling a Cerveza Cristal out of a bot.
Yeah,
they chest.
It was a surprising show of internet journalism. Like, we need to dig up if this is so stupid. Mm-hmm. Is this real? And yes, they dug up the lawsuit that this fucking Lucas sued. Of course he did. You can't have Alec Guinness picking up any other kind of alcohol other than his namesake in a Star Wars movie.
But yeah, but like that song, like, I can't imagine it coming from anywhere except, like, North America. Like, the US and Canada. Like, Canada has, like, a slightly more denim-y version of it, but, like, yeah, the
beer and heartland values.
That's
somebody who is almost pathetically watching Mystery Science Theater 3000 on internetarchive.org with original commercials and just delighted over it. Please look up the first Toshinden clip. Like being beat up by women and tits? Toshinden. The Bex ad they ran on Comedy Central all the time back in the day was sail away! Sail, like, in the middle of, like, Kids in the Hall promoting the yuppiest yacht lifestyle I could possibly imagine to sell shitty European swill. Look,
I think Night Moves is a wonderful song. But what I call that style of music is Bob Seger rock. Like, that is total... Because he had the truck commercial when we were kids growing up.
Yeah. Like a rock!
Like a rock!
As strong as I could be!
You're right. That's like the Rosetta Stone for American advertising jingles.
That's where it comes from. Yes. Yes, and which leads me to my favorite Norm Macdonald joke. A study shows that women prefer men with beards over men without beards from a study conducted by Bob Seger University.
I knew it. I knew it all along. Beards forever. Like a rock.
You guys do that so much better than me. Like, I feel like I come off sounding constipated when I do it. Like,
no, I mean, that's, we're all channeling that energy. For
yeah,
sure.
you're just
gonna press this turd.
Yours is too Joe Cocker right now.
Yeah, I guess.
We can move you into Seeger.
I figured out what it is. It's the dad grunt. Mm. Gentlemen, like, I think we can all attest, when we sit up, it's physiologically impossible for us not to get a little grunt in there, right?
Yeah. You know, it's great when you can wake up before the paper gets here, but you don't have anything to read when you're
that's,
eating your breakfast.
That's the yeah. Seeger, because he looks like that. He just looks like a dude getting up to get the morning paper, complaining about the fucking neighbor's dogs and these damn kids these days.
Bumpuses!
You went to the Bumpuses. I love it.
I'm sorry. I'm all over the place. We lost our guest, which yes. somehow gives my brain an excuse to just ruin the show. Apologies, everyone.
I swear it's about video games.
I'm usually on I'm better behavior when we have a guest here, but yeah. I really don't care about embarrassing myself in front of Matt and Michael.
So, we're going very South Park with this. Like, that is a total South Park montage.
Yeah, absolutely. Like a rock. Like a rock.
Video games, this show is about, I promise. We have a top five topic this week that is inspired by two new releases that are sort of bookend this week, at the tail end of last week, tail end of this week. Euphoria, The Saga 2, came out last week, and Euphoria is an NES game that never came to the U.S. It was released in Europe and Japan. And it's in Japan, it was about Hiberike, who is a little penguin chick that, like, wears a little beanie. And in the European version, he was changed to Bop Louie, who looks more like a little alien with big black eyes. It doesn't matter. Euphoria was like an early-ass NES Metroidvania where you could recruit these four different characters and then switch between them to take advantage of their various abilities to make your way through the world. Euphoria the Saga 2 is a decades later sequel to it that has beautiful graphics, but once again, you are recruiting these characters and you can switch between them on the fly. It's just, you know, tag them in and like, oh, now you can dive underwater or climb walls or whatever. We also have WWE 2K24 coming at the end of the week.
Hot
now
tag.
Now with blurred Vince McMahon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What a solution.
And Blur Lesnar. Yeah. Anyway. Which, you know, wrestling also known for tag teams, originating the concept of the tag team, that you tag in your partner, and now they inhabit your body in the ring and take on your opponent. I'm guessing that's how it works.
The tag team, a set of rules that is meant to be broken constantly.
Chris, they're holding that little rope, all right? That's keeping them in that corner. You got to get
it. All the best spots come when two people do a move against one guy, which the ref is, like, what, unconscious during every time?
No. You're allowed. There's like an unwritten rule. There's like a 3-second window. Yeah. The ref doesn't say anything. It's like, as long as that guy, I don't know. There's no. It's wrestling. Come on.
The rule book says it looks cool.
Yeah. Like I was like trying to come up with something. Like, well, as long as one keeps his hand on the rope. No, that's not true. That's not true at all. There is no fucking. Yeah. It's just.
The ref says the floor is lava. and double pile drivers are okay.
But Michael's right. Those fucking are the coolest moves. Come on, the tag team moves, the team ups, if you will.
So this week we're going to be doing our top five around games with a tag team mechanic, a hot swap mechanic, whatever you want to call it. Games where you can swap between characters on the fly, and it feels really cool. It is generally awesome. Just to note, this is just our favorites. We're not trying to be comprehensive here. Obviously, there are way too many games to cover with just five entries.
Mm.
So let's begin with
number five.
We've got a unit under heavy fire and trapped in the refinery. Conduct a rapid assault, neutralize all hostiles, and prep the area for immediate helicopter extraction.
Watch those Tikers. Don't lose visual.
Okay, now I know what this is. Yeah. I thought you were trying to get obscure with one of these. This is the entry that I was shocked that you included over such things as Bloodstained Curse of the Moon or my personal fave, Brute Force. How the fuck does Battlefield 2 get on our list?
Battlefield 2 Modern Combat. Well, because it was suggested by our missing guest. Once I saw it, like, this is actually really cool. And I'm very surprised.
It's legitimately amazing and bizarre. Yeah. It's it died in 2.
Like, this was a PS2 Xbox game. Like, Battlefield 2 Modern Combat was a console-only game that was named that with the subtitle to differentiate it from Battlefield 2 on PC, which is apparently a different game. And certainly not to be confused with Battlefield 2142, which traded in World War II or Modern Combat stuff for mechs.
That series, pretty much after the number 2, just lost its way with naming. Yeah. Like, they went fucking bonkers. They, like, well, and isn't this one a sequel to Battlefield Vietnam? Like, in theory, it's
funny you should mention that, just because on 302010 this week, it is the 20th anniversary of Battlefield Vietnam, which I played a ton of, an absolute ton of. But that is really
some
a glory.
Some folks are born, right? Oh, sorry.
The loading screen is Fortunate Son. I mentioned as if that wasn't already synonymous with dropping into Vietnam. But it's a glorified expansion. But the thing I did want to bring up in regards to that I brought up on 302010, I was living in Tallahassee, Florida during the Counter-Strike Battlefield days. Were you guys into those games as much as I was?
No, not as much as you were.
I have never liked Battlefield.
That was also like the internet cafe days. We had multiple internet cafes based around the popularity
of
mostly
at
the
time.
Were you living
in Korea at the time?
Like, dude, I'm telling you, it was the popularity on college campuses of mostly Battlefield.
Okay.
Battlefield, like preparing for Battlefield 2 or 2142. It was called Juggernauts, and they hired betitted women and called them Juggernauties. And you could LAN up, and they'd have tournaments there. It just... Doesn't that feel weird? Like, that would be better now and still a bad business idea.
Yeah, I
better
guess.
Idea now.
Yeah, come play on a powerful PC. Mm-hmm. Or do it over the cloud. We'll call it Stadia.
I mean, yeah, people could just easily sign into their accounts and play with all their shit with their controls binded the way they like. It's sort of shocking we don't have... there isn't any kind of ubiquity with that kind of stuff, or even a chain that does that in the U.S. at least.
Yeah. But, so Battlefield 2... Modern Combat, gotta keep the subtitle in there.
Yeah,
had this neat feature that was in single player, so if you didn't have anyone to play with, you could sort of simulate having teammates by just jumping from one soldier into the other. Like, there was a hot swap button, and you would just, like, look at a...
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
You have to look in that direction and see that soldier?
If you see a friendly soldier, if you see, like, a blue icon somewhere in your field of view, you can just hit the button and immediately jump to that soldier. If they're in a vehicle...
Even if they're piloting, like, a helicopter and shit, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, you take over the helicopter now. And it also happens when you die, but you can just sort of trigger it at will. And, like, I guess functionally, it's not all that different from, like, in a sports game, you're just switching the active player. You've got, like, you know, however many players on the field. And, like, now I want to play the guy who's closer to the ball, so I'm going to transfer over to him.
But it is different in the sense that, like, you're not only can be out of harm's way in a moment, you could have some weapon you have no business.
Yeah.
I watched a guy die, and then he just spawns in the tank riding, like, 20 yards away from him. And takes over the fucking tanks and gets revenge. It's pretty ingenious. I'm surprised it never... I was incorrect. I thought, like, no, they did that in Battlefield 1. In the prologue of Battlefield 1,
yeah,
they did that.
And even then, you couldn't do it at will. It was just when you died. But, like,
it's very scripted.
Apparently, like, Battlefield 2, like, there weren't health packs. There weren't, you couldn't pick, like, different soldier loadouts or whatever when you deployed.
Mm.
So instead, you just, like, you know, scouted out, okay, who's here? Oh, I'm going to take his body over because he has a rocket launcher and there's a tank patrolling that needs to be taken out. So
just Agent Smith into him.
Yeah, I'm just going to do this. We're stuck and we're taking the lead. FAC, we have possible targets for you. Yeah, it's a cool effect. Like, you get just sort of, like, you know, tunnel vision as you zoom to the other person. It's like Driver San Francisco, kind
of. Yeah, like Driver San Francisco. But it's bizarre to look at, because I only looked at a couple of YouTube videos and the stuff you linked me to. The game looks so shitty, but it's such, like, a phenomenal feat I haven't seen recreated in a modern game.
Yeah.
Other than Driver.
Again, PS2, Xbox, original Xbox.
So foggy. So
foggy.
So few
so chunky. So, like, chunky. You're not used to games looking this bad.
I mean, you sort of blew my mind with that, because we were really, me and my friends are really big in a Battlefield, like a dozen of us. And it's like the opposite of how I am now. We didn't get into two because, one, I don't think 2142 floated our boat very well. And it was console only. And we had only done it on PC. At the time, I'm fixing my fucking PC every week. It always has the side panel off because it's always a problem. But I was a PC FPS guy. Which feels bizarre now.
Well, I remember, like, going to a demo for this. Like, I was working in the games press that long ago that I went to a demo for this. And one thing that struck me about it was, like, they were showing off the C4 and, like, yeah, you can stick C4 charges to anything. If you want to stick them to a car, you can do that. So I was like, oh, so I can, like, stick them to a car and, like, drive it into the enemies and just explode. And they're like, oh, no, suicide bomb. And, like, what real impact would that have on them? Other than maybe they weren't expecting me to blow myself up. Like, are they going to be overwhelmed by the self-sacrificing horror of what I just did? Oh, no.
Or you can zip into a body that isn't incredibly in danger.
Yeah, there's for some reason, I either didn't see or didn't remember that part. So it was only when our guest clued me in, was like, oh, shit, this is amazing. I can't believe this was done.
Yeah, it really does look impressive to this day, because, like, when I finally... Shit, when did we play the last Driver game, you and me? It was, like, a year or two ago.
Something like that.
Yeah, sure. It was still impressive, and it is, like, kind of a cool game technique, and why did everybody rip off fucking crafting and bullet time and not this? Especially with well-populated maps.
Yep, should just be able to jump into anyone I see. And
it seems like something GTA would do for some weird reason. Mm-hmm. I can't script myself just yet.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's pretty awesome, but let's move along to...
Number 4.
Nothing I can't handle alone. Round 1. Fight!
Yeah, he says he can handle it alone, but he needs a tag partner.
A game series so cool that it created a spin-off mini-series just around the tag feature, right? So this is Tekken Tag Tournament?
Tekken Tag Tournament 2, specifically, because that...
TTTT!
Yeah, looking into it, so Tekken Tag Tournament has a feature called Great Combos, where if you go into combat with a certain tag team... you will be able to pull off tag combos where, like, one partner starts a combo, the other one rushes in and continues it. They do throws together, stuff like that. So, like, you know, you can pair Devil Jin with Asuka in Tekken Tag Tournament 2. There's a bunch more combos for doing that. And so there are a number of fighting games that let you start a combo and continue it with a tag team character, but this is one of the few that kind of just formed its identity around that.
I mean, it's in the name.
Yeah. And it's a spinoff. Like, I've always thought that was kind of funny about Tekken Tag is like, well, no, this isn't main continuity. Like, we couldn't possibly affect the sacrosanct continuity of the mainline Tekken games. So let's
That volcano already has a body in it.
Yeah. But to their credit, like, they took something that at the time was maybe an extra mode in a lot of games. Like, I have to bring it up because I was going back and forth between these two, like Dead or Alive. Mm-hmm. It first started with the tag stuff as just like kind of an extra mode in certain versions of Dead or Alive. And Dead or Alive does a lot of the similar things where Dead or Alive, like if you have certain character pairings like Bass and then his daughter Tina will do like a special throw combo wrestling because they're both pro wrestlers. Makes total sense, right? But you kind of have to know who the friends are in the roster to get that special move. Otherwise, I think they have like... generic series of throws and stuff, but like Tekken Tag, to their credit, the first one had a lot of cool tag stuff, but then the second one really built on that and said, well, if we're gonna have a whole game dedicated to this, we should probably focus on making it a robust part of playing and strategy with this thing, you know.
The tagging somehow had unique fighting game features, which I think there's when there are many other games that do that, but they're not like design intentional. It's kind of players, the way they figured out combos in the original Street Fighter 2. If I can chain this character into this, you're not it's not built with that in mind, but Tekken Tag 2 was. I should shut up because I did text a friend of mine, like, what is the most taggable opponents in a fighting game? And I think we got to, there's potentially four in CVS1. But because you have a point system and characters have different point values.
Yeah.
And you could bring in four number one characters, but you'd probably be an idiot.
Yeah. They'd probably all get knocked out pretty quickly.
Yes.
Then where would you be? But yeah, Tekken Tag, in the first game, there were two combos that, like, you know, two sets of characters that could combo off of each other. If you teamed up Forest Law with Paul Phoenix. Obviously, they're best friends. Of course, they're going to do cool shit.
Yeah.
And then Gun Jack or Jack 2 with Brian Fury. So they can bounce off each other. Also, in Tag Tournament 2, they expanded that quite a bit. So not only do you get Law and Paul, but it could be either Forrest or Marshall. But Kazuya and Jinpachi, Jin and Devil Jin, Jin and Asuka, Nina and Anna, Bayek and Huarang, Elisa and Xiaoyu, and Jack 6... or Prototype Jack with Brian. I'm reading off the fandom wiki, just FYI, if that's not obvious.
Thank God that's not by memory. I would have told you to go outside.
Oh, God, no. You would have told me to... Wrong sound.
Go outside, nerd.
They're right next to each other.
I was like, dude, wow, you really threw me there. I thought you were going to play.
Go outside, nerd.
I've been meaning to do that intentionally. That was accidental.
Yeah. Pop, pop.
Yeah. Anyway, Tekken Tag Tournament, obviously, we'd have to put it into a feature about tag.
Yeah, they built a whole game. And we should say, even though we picked two, like, come on, one is like an all-time great game. It is.
You
it
can
is,
just see it as a blanket for the Tekken Tag Tournament franchise.
But one was like a reason to own a PS2 at one point. It was like, come on, man.
It was one of the few really worthwhile PS2 launch games.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ridge Racer only takes you so far.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. There were six of them in 1 year. It was amazing.
Yeah. It's like Tekken Tag, SSX, and Fantavision. That's all you needed to have at launch. And good luck affording all three of those, by the way. Anyway, let's move along to...
Number three.
Oh, great. Another awkward conversation about how amazing it is that both our moms are called Martha.
Which Max version Hazard? Of Batman is that?
That's got to be the Lego.
Yes, Lego. So again, giving this to the whole series because Lego, starting with the Lego games, the Traveler's Tales Lego games, Lego Star Wars, Lego Indiana Jones, Lego Dimensions, which that quote is from. Take your pick. They all sort of built around these two character teams and. Nominally, that's so that you can play through the game with your kids, or your kids can play through it together, or you can just have a buddy, whatever. But you can also switch between them. And while the game usually prescribes, like, okay, you get this team and you go through the level with them in story mode, you can always go back, and depending on who you have in your team, you can... branch out and explore more things. You can discover different areas, solve different puzzles, etc., etc. Like, the characters all have different functionalities, and that's kind of what makes the tag teaming cool and essential. And
I mean, Lego Star Wars is the easiest example I can think of is in the original, like, Lego Star Wars game. Like, one of the first levels is like, you're gonna have to switch to a droid because only droids can open this type of door to get in this thing. And what was cool about it is it wasn't like an RPG thing where you're like, well, I have a party of four or five, and if I just didn't take that dude along, I'm fucked. It's like Lego's like, no, anyone you've collected at this point, you can swap him out at any time. You have a huge collection of characters. And then most recently, I feel like the games did get away from that for a while. Like, Lego Batman became really action-oriented and far fewer puzzle things, but like... the most recent Lego Star Wars, the epic, huge, open-world game,
Skywalker
whatever,
Saga.
That thing was lousy with those puzzles. Like, yeah, and what was great about it is that there's like 100 characters to choose from. It's like, yeah, you just need a bounty hunter type for this one. Any bounty hunter will do. Pick your favorite bounty.
And you can just go into a menu and say, like, all right, I'm assigning them to this slot. Now they're in there, and I can tag between them. That was pretty neat. But, you know, I think also Lego Dimensions, again, which our guest suggested, had one of the more interesting ways to tag in different characters, which is that while you're looking at the screen, well, technically, yes. While you're looking at the screen, your little brother, unbeknownst to you, picks up your Batman minifig, slams it several times into the base, and throws it hard into the wall. You will never find that Batarang or that cowl ever again.
Yep.
But guess what? You've got a Sonic the Hedgehog figurine, who you can pop on the plinth and hear him say...
Huh, lumpy space princess, huh? Last time I met a princess, I don't quite remember. Never mind.
Yep.
I mean, that...
Oh, Roger.
I almost hate Lego Dimension, even though I'm under my toe right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is the base of a Beetlejuice sandworm, which nice. It got from Lego Dimensions. I don't...
Just like in Dune 2, dude. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Chris was sandworm riding this whole time, and we didn't know.
But you got some of the most wonderful pop culture interactions in all of history, including a new Portal game, just in Lego Dimensions. Like, fucking insane.
Yeah.
By the way, insane. I'm going to give this to... I'm assuming... Is Beetlejuice Paramount? I don't know who does Beetlejuice, but...
It's Warner Brothers.
Listen, Warner Brothers executive, if you don't have a Beetlejuice trailer... With him mm-hmm. doing worm riding yeah. like in fucking Dune 2, if you're not spoofing Dune 2, you're doing it wrong, all right? That's free. You can have that idea for free.
They're both Warner Brothers. But let's go. I think Beetlejuice, which is a fantastic sequel That's title, is in
such
the can
a good title.
For, right now.
I'm just thinking of like the 80s, 90s cartoon Beetlejuice. Just so good. Like, hey, babes, I'm Dragon Shy Flood.
I love that. He'd make a joke and there'd be a fucking joke noise off screen that would just go, oh, I can't even do it. Like, oh, like what the fuck was that? That was such a strange and good cartoon. One of my favorite openings
it
ever.
It really was. I wonder if it's on Blu-ray.
I own the complete series on DVD.
Wow.
Yeah. It is not on Blu-ray. Otherwise I would own it.
Probably streaming somewhere. Who knows? Maybe it got cut from Max or something.
I doubt they ever. Yeah. It seems like something they wouldn't want to pay for. If they're going to kill Rooster Teeth. Why would they carry a Beetlejuice
Don't
cartoon?
Don't worry, they did keep Mountain Monster. Still available on Max.
Yay. That'll never die.
Yay. But yeah, like the best one, best video game reference of all time, Bart Simpson meeting up with the real Sonic the Hedgehog, and Sonic the Hedgehog, take it!
Hey Bart, remember, if you see a gold brick lying around, just take it! Take it!
Which is, of course, a reference to this scene in The Simpsons, where Sonic and various other video game characters encourage Bart to shoplift a copy of Bone Storm.
Go ahead, Bart. Take the Bone Storm.
The store? She's so rich. She'll never notice.
It's the company's fault for making you want it so much.
Don't do it, son. How's that game gonna help your putting?
Just take it! Take it! Take it!
So cool.
All right. Well, let's move along to...
Number two.
Yeah, number two already? How is this possible?
Hey, officer, give it up! This is getting way out of hand! At the end of the day, it's just a public decency thing. Want to put all these resources on a dude playing show and tell? Maybe resisting arrest after that? And some officer assaults in between?
I'm sure this needs no introduction for you guys.
No, because there's tons of games where you can swap characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we said before we even started, no trying. I ain't trying to hear that. but because there's just not that much of a personality. But that I think that was the absolute best part about multiple playable characters in one GTA game, that like Franklin is trying to succeed, Michael has something to prove, and Trevor is a psycho. So if you wanted to, you can play GTA in many different ways, but it was neat to have characters that embodied those ways. An up-and-comer story, a redemption story, and a fucking loon.
Yep. Well, and a guy who's meant to represent, like, this is how you've all been playing the main character for our game.
Yeah.
So we're just going to create a literal psycho that now you can play as. Who I love. Play more clips of him, because apparently he hates his association with the game.
And like swapping characters, we've swapped in another another podcast
host. Who's joining us? Special guest.
Hi, everybody. Emmett Watkins Jr. here, also known as DJ Sponsors, one and all plays on the internet. You know, from different places. Welcome to the thing and other things. So happy to be here finally after, you know, visiting other realms for a little while.
Oh, Emmett. Yes, I did it. Got to do it.
All right. Well, glad you hopped on. Glad you could join us.
Jenna Five, your thoughts.
So, what I like about this is that there's plenty of games that let you switch between different characters. GTA is interesting because you never know where those characters are going to be or what they're going to be doing. Like, that clip I just played is just somebody switching over to Trevor, and they're in the middle of a high-speed police chase, and you now have to play that while Trevor is screaming. So the first thing you have to do before you can do whatever it was you wanted to do with Trevor, you have to ditch the cops, and so then you're free.
I feel like it's secretly scripted somehow. Mm-hmm. Like, he needs to be in a certain location where you're close to a mission, but it is really fucking cool. And it is... I love the idea that, like, because normally every GTA mission starts with, like, waking up from your save.
Yeah.
and yeah, just the three great flavors of characters in that game. And it's hard to beat Trevor as a favorite and just... I can't believe it's over 10 years old, but, like, it was so verboten at that point for the media to, like, cast aspersions on GTA. It's killing people! It's not. We've been through this for 10 years. That to generate controversy, Rockstar, like, here's everything pundits and Jack Thompson said you did in a GTA game, but you didn't. And now we're asking you to do it. And it generated no controversy whatsoever. Rampage missions came back. Needless killing came back.
Except for the sexual assaults that all the culture critics insisted were part of the game. Those were never put in any capacity. But you did get to bust open a guy's kneecap at one point, which is pretty harrowing.
It's very true. You got to electrocute a guy until his teeth fell out as well. Yeah, that was fun, might be the word for it.
Sure.
But yeah, I appreciate GTA 5. I've been on other places. People might know me to be a pretty big critic of GTA 5 specifically because, man, what a nihilistic story mode that had. That was not very fun. But, you know, as far as Rockstar and their obsession with maximalism in a lot of their games, I think GTA 5 is kind of the peak of that. What better way to, you know, really hammer home the insanity of all these different people running around in the city? Hammer that theme home by letting you play as three of them at any given time. And what else to play into the nihilism by playing with your ability to play as all three of them by the end of that game. Wink, wink, hint, hint, if you haven't played the game in 10 years. but yeah, very, very kind of mind-blowing that they even went for that when they already had this impeccably detailed city. So, you know, kudos to them for that. And can't wait to do it all over again in my family's hometown of Florida.
Yeah, that's what I'm so excited about for GTA 6, because the Bonnie and Clyde aspect to everything, especially since the trailers seem to show at least one of the characters is in prison, and the idea of, like, you playing as someone breaking out of prison and the person trying to break a person out is, like, kind of a new mission type for GTA, and just, like, playing as, like, a constant fugitive is also really fucking cool. And, like, I have to imagine... It looks like the game is super fucking heist based.
Yeah, which is cool because the heists were among the best parts of GTA 5, and that's the other side of the character switching as opposed to just the random open world stuff. You had these heists that were like every character has a role to play, and you will be prompted to switch between them to accomplish whatever task they have in the heist. And it contributes to this feeling like everything is going off like clockwork. Everything synchronized according to plan. Yeah. Or not, because you hired the cheapest driver or whatever.
I need that shit you drive. Punch.
It'd be like that indeed.
Mm-hmm. I could not be more excited, especially for the Florida location. That looks really fucking cool. I thought the California location would be boring when I saw the GTA 5 trailer. Because, like... New York's much more densely popped. I was totally wrong. That kind of batshit, and I'm saying it once again, final mission in a Disney World. They have to do it. That will open up, and you will be able to annihilate people in Disney World.
I mean, if they didn't do it for L.A., which is, like, right next to Anaheim, where Disneyland is.
I'm saying,
is,
but
like...
there has to be an upped ante, and because not to shit on California's Disney... Ours is colossal and huge and has its own currency.
It is the size of a city.
Yes, like
an actual
yes,
city.
Because you fucking built it on a swamp.
Mm-hmm. We did.
We did.
An immaculate swamp. It was fucking gorgeous.
Yeah. Then it sunk into the swamp. But then we built it again on top of the swamp. Then it sunk again. Then we built it and that one held.
A couple babies got eaten, but whatever. The water, this is according to my father who works in environmental law. They need to think, like, as a preservationist, we're so lucky Disney bought this. Any other developer would have ruined this. And, like, it's in Disney's best interest to keep everything beautiful and hospitable and non-toxic. Whereas most other developers wouldn't have given a shit. And this whole area is very well preserved.
You using the word developers over and over again confused me for a second. I was like, did Disney buy Grand Theft Auto?
Look, think hard hat developers, Michael, and less fucking flannel
never.
Shirt developers.
I never will.
Yeah. If you can't tell the difference, these developers won't be overworked.
These developers have a union.
Yeah, exactly.
What
developers
would Michael's...
don't work at all, dude. Developers are just the fucking owners who boss people around. Those developers don't need a union. Like land developers, they're just like, man, whatever. I just fund the money.
Let it be known that was Matt Allen upsetting the Teamsters here on Video Game Apocalypse. Yeah,
yeah. What are you talking about, Teamsters? Are the
I get what you say, but what would Michael say while exiting a movie theater?
What happened to American mainstream movie making?
What, indeed?
I kind of hate Michael.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, he sucks.
He does suck. I mean, they all suck in different ways.
He's a guy who did nothing but bad things and is punished by infinite wealth and a wife he kind of doesn't like a lot.
Yeah.
Like, and kids he complains about. Like, you suck too, man. Like, and you're living a life that most people would... like make a deal with the devil for, and you're complaining about it and wanting to get back into crime. Look where Franklin lives.
Yeah, Franklin is like the only sort of good character in that bunch.
You think he has infinite wealth?
They implied the FBI is giving him a ton of money, like six figures every single month.
Okay. Well, I just, for me, he seemed like, in terms of gangster hierarchy, just sort of like upper middle class. Like, he's not like a boss or anything like that. But
but you also are from that area of California. His lifestyle, Matt. What about that? With
work. That home in California.
He lives in a small walled mansion with an automated gate.
Yes. So. Right. Like, right in the nested in West Hollywood for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He really likes going out. I don't know.
And then, Franklin has a dog.
Come on, man. Franklin does have a dog.
Chop!
Come here.
Another turd, Chop? Oh, I gotta school your ass.
Chop was a neat addition.
I forgot, that's the fourth character.
Yeah,
did
Chop.
You guys use Chop that much? Like, I could never get it to work the way it was supposed to. Like,
you didn't use the app.
Yeah, that's
no,
true.
I didn't.
There was an iPhone app where there was like a Tamagotchi where you had to train and raise Chop, and that would improve his performance in the game, supposedly.
And I didn't say that judgingly, Matt. I, of course, did not either, because that's dumb.
You know what the app was called, though, Chris? Michael, cue the sound you accidentally played before. Chop, chop!
Chop, chop!
Oh, Lord. I'll say I absolutely forgot you played a Chop for a little bit, but no matter what GTA 5 can do, they'll never be, Dead to Rights Retribution, where you got to play Shadow. They'll never go against the true goat.
I remember playing the crap out of that for an article I did at Games Radar that was like games that let you just really destroy someone's balls. I can't remember what the headline I went with was, but that was the gist. And
I remember
like,
it because it was that one football game and Mortal Kombat and Sniper.
Well, the one football game, what was it?
Blitz the League, my guess?
Yeah, I think it was Blitz the League, where the it actually had like, if you nailed someone in the balls hard enough, you got like an x-ray view of their balls in a scrotum, and then like one of them gets crushed and you just see the whole thing filling with white fluid. And I'm like, is that cum in a video game? What the fuck are we doing?
Exactly. That's where the pee lives. What are they doing?
Yeah.
I think it's time to update that list because we got that RoboCop game. I'm sure Mortal Kombat has gone to the ball zone times recently. Yeah.
The ball zone.
But Dead to Rights Retribution.
That's what they called like the ball pit.
It's a very specific section of Discovery Zone.
Dead to Rights Retribution had some extravagant ball attacks. You could kick people in the balls. You could order your dog to bite their nuts off, apparently, that it would just like clamp down and shake its head and then like whip its head off to one side, and your imagination did the rest of the work.
Chopper,
can I ask a dumb question? We're all old and Emmett isn't.
I'm getting there. I'm 29, goddamn it.
Oh, yeah, 29. Shut up. When was the last time you got hit in the balls?
By another person?
I don't know, but like when...
Without paying?
It's like I played soccer, so like I got hit like every weekend in a way that would... Like, I would be out of an office for a month if that happened to me.
Right.
And my lady was playing around with me, and she pretended to knee me in the balls, and I got real quiet and like, you did get one. And that hasn't happened to me in like 10 years. Like, someone has like aggressively done something to my nuts, and like, yeah, it still is it's the that's my purse moment. It fucking hurts.
As a parent...
Oh.
That there is a certain age where they're just at the right height where they're... Mm-hmm. If they're swinging like a wiffle ball bat or anything around, it's like right there. So probably more recently than I would care to admit, from that. Yeah.
Well, it's good that we're talking about balls and cum because it perfectly sets up this clip.
No, Tripper, it's all sticky.
Oh, that's the essence of life, boy.
Yeah, he's rubbing a stuffed animal in his cousin's face. And
oh,
didn't remember that.
I'm sure that animal's pre-stuffed before he got.
So no one's had a good hard nut accident. I did sit on my own ball like recently. I brought tuned myself.
Yeah, I almost brought. I've almost brought tuned.
The hardest nut accident I've had because I do work at a warehouse, and before I got into the office, I was doing the physical side of things, and I've at least twice I've had a box just graze it a little too aggressively,
like
and
then I had to go sit down. Forklift or something?
Yeah. Right. Oh God, not on a forklift, just physically with my
hand. A graze is the
worst. Like a graze is really far more painful than just a straight shot. Mm-hmm. There's something you can kind of do the ninja, just like absorb it, suck it in, or something like that. If you get a straight shot, but if you get grazed, you're down for the day, my friend.
Yeah, it's very weird. Like a little flick is all it takes. I just forgot. It's been a long time since I've been in an aggressive situation. There's no hard hat for that. Emmett can agree. Yeah, my balls are usually treated very well. treated very well. You know, I like to keep it clean down there.
The dream of every man. Yeah. Well, to keep it clean down there and to not just have them treated well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. To sit on a toilet, put my legs behind my head, and just really work it with a manscaper.
Jesus. All right.
God,
let's probably move like
on. They're not a sponsor angel anymore.
Let's move along to... All right, if that sounds a bit chaotic, it's because there are about six different characters on screen.
Oh, I thought it was six different cabinets, because at some point Capcom figured out that when you walk into an arcade, it's all just a cacophony anyway, so they just said, well, fuck it, let's put it all on the same disc, let's go, baby. Yeah.
But the main thrust of what you're hearing is Deadpool teaming up with Devil May Cry's Dante to unleash a barrage of pistol bullets into MODOK. In which game?
MVC 3, it's got to be.
Yeah, one Ultimate MVC 3. But really, I'm giving this to the entire Capcom versus series because there is something incredibly satisfying about holding back and punch and kick buttons at the same time, and another character just comes flying in feet first to knock down your opponent and continue whatever it was.
And it should be said, as far as all tag-based fighting games go, this is a roster of beloved characters who are doing what I want them to do. Mm. No offense to Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl. That is also also a good... It's a good cast of... Did you see that SpongeBob Xbox they showed today?
I am seriously considering selling my Halo Infinite
the exclusive
Xbox
drop
for it.
From Best Buy that you guys are talking about?
It would look more appropriate on my shelf, which is mostly toy-based anyway.
I just want to know, when did Best Buy become like the shoe app? Like, we have an exclusive drop. It is a SpongeBob Xbox.
Well, they had to get rid of the physical DVDs to make room for that. Mm-hmm. So
fair trade.
It's now the SpongeBob Xbox aisle.
But MVC from, like Michael said, the whole Versus series, Street Fighter, according to the data I got within that company, like all those characters are the second most recognizable video game characters in the world behind Mario. I know Sonic might have something to say about that.
I have some more recent Q score data that has something to say about that, but fine.
But like in the MVC 2 days, my awareness of Capcom characters and Marvel characters were at that love was at an all time high. Mm-hmm. And even though those mechanics were something I could never get my head around, I never got tired of watching it. I still don't. I still love seeing that shit.
Well, so many games ripped this off too, right? So
they did, but
the most recent Mortal Kombat 1 wouldn't mm-hmm. do what it's doing had Marvel versus Capcom. Like the fact that there's different ways of tagging folks in, it's like you can tag them in just as a quick attack, like, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like mm-hmm. a feint, like, oh, I'm not going to swap characters, I'm just going to have them come and back me up. Or like a super special where it's like I'm going to have Cyclops unleash this huge fury ray while I do something else with another character. Like they, yes, exactly. They gave you so many ways to use the tags that other fighting games then copied as well. But like, and then I'm not a huge MVC guy, but like, I know a big part of the game is the pop-up combos, right? It's mm-hmm. like, I'm going to throw a dude 200 yards into the air and then beat the shit out of him of course, on the way down.
Aerial juggles.
Yeah, yeah. And there was a few things more fulfilling than doing that and then tagging someone in to continue beating them on their way hurtling down to Earth. You know, that's part of the fun of that series. Yeah.
And I'm saying that as like no offense to things like DB... Fighters. Dragon Ball Fighters.
Fighters.
Because like, it's a good tag system, but it is all Dragon Ball characters, whereas like, I don't care who you were in the 2000s, you knew like 10 people in the MVC roster, and it was really fun to see them fight. Yeah, why not? Jill Valentine and Spider-Man. That's nobody's mains, but yeah. but you could do it.
But I think it was another thing where, because it's another reason why I'd argue, man, they should really come back with another one of these games, because mm-hmm. when you look at the Marvel landscape and you look at the Capcom landscape, I feel like they're both in a perfect kind of combination of everyone knows Marvel, but everyone doesn't know Marvel, if you know what mm-hmm. I mean. Like, these names are familiar, but do I know all of them super intimately? Not necessarily. Same thing for Capcom. Hey, I've played a Resident Evil. At this point, hey, a lot of us have played a Monster Hunter. Like, a lot of these franchises have come back around to being prominent, but you don't really know the roster like that. They could really fill that out and do some crazy wild combinations that would really excite a lot of folks.
Most importantly, like, there's not that hang up with fucking Fox and X-Men characters anymore. And mm-hmm. I don't want Marvel vs. Capcom to go out like it did with Infinite. It deserves another shot. Disney doesn't make games. Capcom does. Let's do this. Let's do it.
You better move quick, because you're not going to get Dakota Johnson's likeness from Adam Webb much longer.
that's the character everybody wants to put in.
I'm not kidding. She's in the musical. She's
Jesus. I saw some article today that was like, you know, Hideo Kojima...
He reviews a lot of movies on Twitter, and you can tell the movies he likes because he says he has very long write-ups mm-hmm. about them, and then the ones he doesn't like will be very short. And his write-up of Madam Web was literally, just saw Madam Web in theaters.
Yep.
Hard stop. That was the review.
I saw Madam Web in the theater today.
Send Petey a light and money.
Look, we laugh right now, but when the Sydney Sweeney DLC goes brazy, it's going to be a different situation.
I swear, like the fucking Madam Web movie, I think eventually is going to be revealed as like a producer's-esque scam to get more money out of Disney to buy Spider-Man.
You know what Madam Web reminds me of? I'm going to show you some.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Is the audience going to see it?
No, but you guys will. Still be funny. Talk about it.
This so, 50 States of Grey.
What I tell people Madam Web reminds me of, I never has a superhero movie felt so close to what is the logo you see on this gym bag I'm holding up?
Electra?
Yes.
Whoa!
I rock an Electra gym bag because it's like this amazing quality, what is this, OGO bags? Yeah. Whatever. Anyway.
You bought it. You
No, I worked on Electra at Fox, and so I have this from those days, but basically Madam Web is the new Electra.
That is the worst. Getting. Maybe Catwoman, but just because Catwoman...
That one was impressively bad.
Yeah, it's like, it's bad in a way, like, that character just died and is now on screen. It's like Ed Wood bad, but, like, Elektra, it doesn't have, like, the boom mic falling in the shot qualities Catwoman has, but it's so much worse. It's so fucking awful.
So anyway, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is probably the high water mark. But I do love the evolution of that series that it began. And the way that I found out about it, I think I was on Amok. Which, for those of you who weren't on the internet in the early to mid-90s, Amok was like a text-only user face called, like, multi-user character kits or creation kits or something like that.
Oh, it has that game?
It was sort of like a text-only MMO where you could talk to other people. So sort of like a MUD, but with less fighting monsters, more chatting and building rooms and objects that you could interact with.
Go outside, nerd.
Play it for myself.
Michael was logged into Prodigy on his muck.
Somebody told me that there was such a thing as X-Men versus Street Fighter. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You mean the Street Fighter Children of the Atom game? It's like, no, X-Men versus Street Fighter. And then I'm like, I went to the arcade the next week and like, holy shit, it's real. There it is. Yeah,
it's so nuts to think about how there was like no social media or advertising for arcade games at all. It is literally relying on word of mouth every single time.
But that's what we need. What do you call those? Where like people who worked on that thing just speak about it on a YouTube video for it. I want to know how that deal happened. Like who was like, we have an idea for a fighting game. We want to get the Street Fighter characters versus X-Men. And then, like, who is the heroic fucking soul that made that shit happen? Like,
I believe, as the story goes, like, that came about when Marvel was, as a comic company, near bankruptcy. And were kind of desperate to do anything. Because it is really fascinating. If you're in Japan, I was in Japan 10 years ago, and the MCU is just sort of coming up. And these characters are becoming household names, but the sections they'd have the MVC games in were like where we would keep anime, because you got to be a real nerd to be a Japanese person who knows a lot about Marvel.
Yeah.
But that was sort of the point.
Go outside, otaku.
that was sort of the point. Like Capcom had made those games, and let's be honest, it's a lot of reused assets. And they could keep making things with these games to keep their brand relevant, and it helped Marvel become more relevant, because Marvel, it had a lot of good arcade games, but like I don't know that anything like this, like
you guys did that video series about how the Marvel cards introduced a lot of people to the Marvel universe, but I feel Wikipedia, like for me the Capcom games introduced me to a lot of Marvel characters I'd never heard of before.
Within the realm of possibility. It introduced me to a lot of Capcom characters
like
I didn't know.
Shuma-Gorath, the obscure Doctor Strange villain who the developers were like, oh yeah, this guy, he's really cool, let's use him.
I'm pretty sure that's the Japanese were flipping through a character bio of what do you call it, a hardbound Wikipedia
like a Bible.
20 years ago, and like, we want the one with tentacles.
Yeah.
And everyone in America is like, we know. we know.
Figured that. it's funny you say that this game was made back when Marvel wasn't doing so hot financially, because something about this game, for as incredible as I think Marvel vs. Capcom is as a franchise, the first two games kind of have just like a film of cheapness to it.
Yeah.
Like you could tell it's reused assets.
It's great character animation, but in terms of like, I love talking about that. Like, I didn't know I liked the look of anime because I was just into games, and most games were from Japan. And all those anime tropes crept into me through games. And seeing those Marvel characters interpreted like that, because, dude, I think maybe we had the X-Men show, which is I loved, but it has some really rough animation and doesn't do those characters a ton of respect out beyond the intro. In terms of visuals, but the games did, the Capcom games did. They were pretty stellar, pretty amazing. Because on consoles, you were stiffed with Marvel, a lot of Marvel games, and this is like, this is what I want to see these characters do. They're doing their moves. They look cool doing it. Holy shit, they look so OP. Ugh, it's why I'll never not think of this as one of the best tag games ever, because it really was every character I wanted to see fighting, and. So cool.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, they kind of blunted that cheap feeling by, like, number one, they sort of redid a lot of the Street Fighter character sprites, so their attacks were bigger and they just looked cooler. And they also had a little bit of story, so like, you know, you'd finish the game and you'd get like an ending and stuff like that. That continued on up through Marvel vs. Capcom. Then Marvel vs. Capcom 2 was just like, fuck all this. You want a bunch of characters. Here's a bunch of characters. Here's an incredibly catchy character select screen song.
Hell yeah.
Just go nuts. I'll save that for the break.
Do you remember when they started work on MVC 3, which meant Disney or Marvel and Capcom were talking and like, are they going to re-release MVC 2 on Xbox 360 or PS3? And I don't know how they found it so quickly, but it was within like an hour. TU4AR.com.
Yep.
Take You For a Ride was instantly discovered as a Marvel vs. Capcom 2 website. Coming back, and man, I hope it never goes away for very long.
Yeah. I feel like after 2, they rolled it back a little bit, you know, with the better production values of 3, they injected a little bit more story.
How much of that suit is Bionic?
Just the arm? Why? Can't afford the rest of the suit?
That is, of course, Nathan Spencer from Bionic Commando taunting Tony Stark, Iron Man.
I can say pretty definitively, like, all of those Marvel characters have so many more people working under them now and require approvals that never, ever existed, that don't exist on the Street Fighter end. And that's why it'll never be possible to get 56 characters in a game, in an MVC game ever, probably ever again.
It's funny you mentioned the 90s X-Men series, which at the time I thought was great animation. I mean, comparing it to some of the shit we grew up with, right? But like,
oh yeah, like we grew up with the 60s shit, which is basically Clutch Cargo.
Or even like He-Man and stuff
Totally.
Is like not great. But this, the versions of the Marvel characters in these games are like this cartoon that never existed.
Yeah.
But somewhere someone should have just created a big-ass amazing anime cartoon or a movie or something using all of these character models, all the voices they use, because it's like that's the one thing the game doesn't deliver. I'm like, fucking, I just want to watch a story involving all these amazing characters working together.
Well,
like, forget the fighting parts.
Good news, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite is back. It maybe leans a little too much into the story, actually.
Quote,
but it's
quote,
not the
news.
Cool 2D animation stuff I wanted.
I mean, there was a comic for 3, but
I'll take that over Infinite any day, because Infinite was Marvel vs. Capcom on Wish. it was really bad.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like the other games. You know, it felt more like a 3D fighter than 2D.
3 also let you fight as Phoenix Wright, which is pretty fucking badass.
All right, I just know from having worked there, those companies are always talking. But Marvel wants a lot of money. And it's like if... But you're not going to do anything for development other than slow it down. And then they end up arriving occasionally at a number they can agree with. But it's so much more time and money to produce to make less money until somebody at Disney now can arrive at some kind of threshold to make this workable. It's not Capcom's fault. They can make fighting games in their sleep. It just... It's a licensing issue, and it's only become worse. But I think what Emmett was sort of hinting at, MCU's like, you know, it's in a weird period. Like, I feel like it's cursed. I feel like the MCU is cursed. If it's not COVID or writers or actors strike, you know, the guy you're titling your movie after ends up beating up a lady. And it's always something where like this... Deadpool, the movie that should never happen, is the only 2024 Marvel movie that we have, like, at all. And not that I'm shitting on Deadpool, but that was the cool thing about MVC 3, is that these characters were more popular than ever, and getting, like, Nolan North as the consistent Deadpool voice. Fucking cool. Fucking cool. He sounds like he does in other stuff, but had never happened before.
He's video gaming's answer to Ryan Reynolds.
I think I did a feature once, like, Nolan North has played multiple superhero characters over the course of his career.
You can make your own Suicide Squad with Nolan North voices, like, exclusively.
I remember hearing an interview with SpongeBob's Tom Kenny, and he's like, I just settled into voice acting. Like, I'm never going to be cast as Captain America or Spider-Man, but as a voice actor, I've done both. I'm like... Yeah, where? Where were you ever? Where was SpongeBob ever Captain America or Spider-Man? But I believe him. I believe that he did that.
Probably on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Probably, yes, probably did it on Cameo somewhere. Yeah. Seemed professional to him.
My God. Hey, I guess it counts. But yeah, it's interesting how Marvel's in a different spot entirely because the MCU is kind of faltering and because Capcom is, honestly, I feel like with their own IP, they've been able to take enough stuff out of the back catalog. You know, Dragon's Dogma 2 is about to come out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like they're more than fine and don't need to drop $1 million on, or several million dollars on a Marvel partnership. So it feels like Marvel really is the one who has to bend the knee right now, considering they're the ones who, especially now that all the gaming industry is moving away from brand deals, you know, EA just said, hey, we're canceling half of our licensed stuff. We'll see if that ever happens anytime soon.
To prove the formula works best here, how many there are more than one other Marvel fighting games that have terrible reputations.
Yeah, like there was an EA versus one Marvel Nemesis, yeah. Rise of the Imperfects, where EA was just like, we can pit them against original characters. Instead of using our own, let's invent a bunch of shitty supervillains no one's going to remember.
Is that the Silicone Knights? Was that Dennis Dyack?
No, that was Nihilistic that was the, Software.
Yeah,
X-Men Destiny.
Mm-hmm. No. It wasn't the X-Men Destiny people. It was...
I thought they were Silicone Knights. Let's move on.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. but yeah, Rise of the Imperfects is terrible.
But here's like having worked within those walls, everyone at Disney Marvel wants to see these games happen. There's just a threshold that needs to be an agreement. They're always talking. They always want to see this happen. They know it's good for their brand. They know people love it. They're all they're all gamers. They all love the MVC series. So when that last round of MVC Infinite were like, we're the X-Men characters, Capcom, you're the worst. Like, you really think this is Capcom? Come on. What are you? Yeah. Marvel's aren't being, guess who's not talking to you? Marvel. It's them. You know this. Stop giving my friend Mike shit. That is literally a childhood friend, not just a work friend. We grew up in the same town and somehow ended up at Capcom together.
Damn.
Like, fuck all y'all. Still mad about it.
All right.
Why is Storm not in the game? Yes, because Mike from Capcom. Suck my dick.
Gotta blame
assholes.
Someone. Disney's not returning their calls.
Only one willing to talk to you about the game, and you blame him.
Womp, womp, womp.
All right. Well, that is our top five tag team mechanics, somehow. That's what that was about.
Sorry. I blame Emmett.
Fair.
On that note, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Unicorn Overload, Overlord, and a bunch of other stuff, so stay tuned.
Let's get scratching.
Would you like exclusive bonus podcast commentaries and more from the LaserTime crew? Then we strongly encourage you to support this show on patreon.com/LaserTime. It supports not only this show, but all the rest of the LaserTime network. You'll get commentaries, play games with the hosts, see exclusive videos first, and receive an uncut weekly ad-free podcast bonus time. Speaking of which, here's a quick taste.
Because we both wanted to talk about this and the holidays got in the way, but Godzilla Minus One rocked both our worlds, did it not?
Oh, dude, I went into it assuming I would like it. I did not go into it assuming it was going to probably be the best Godzilla movie ever.
You're not wrong, according to box office or critics. It is pretty insane right now, and we're going to dig into more of that.
Get Bonus Time, a weekly, uncensored, and commercial-free podcast every Tuesday, starting for just $5 on patreon.com/lasertime.
And welcome back to our second segment where we're just going to dive into Oh man, a lot going on this week. A lot going on last week too. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. We've had a little bit more time to play that, but not as much as we would have liked.
Not people who are in love with Helldivers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I started to play it, but so I'd played the Nebel demo that was free weeks ago, and I played it before we recorded last week, so that
Nebel Knebel.
know the game and have something to talk about. And supposedly you can skip that content in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, the full game, once you get to a certain point. But I'm still like, you know, I got to a point where I'm replaying the flashback, I'm stumbling around doing things that I already did, and I'm waiting for the skip to happen. And while I was waiting for the skip to happen, it suddenly turned into 2 a.m., and I dozed off. And that's where I've left it.
Nice little bonus there. I didn't finish the demo. I didn't have time to get to it. But even just if it detects a demo save, once you finish that segment of the main game, you get a bonus item. If it detects an original game save, you get a bonus item. If it detects the DLC, what is that, intermission or whatever that is?
Integrate.
If it detects that, you get some bonus items. So that's nice. But I'm going to spoil.
There's no way you can't. You remember, you can transfer your save from your PS4. If you play the game, you have a save, and you can transfer it. But if you don't do that, you won't get bonus shit.
I'm going to spoil the ending. Sephiroth jumps down from the rafters and stabs himself.
Yes. And then
handicapped
the whole time, he can walk just fine and gets in a car with Pete Postlethwaite.
If that turns out to be true, I was not intentionally spoiling anything.
I'm going to spoil the first minute. And to Brennan's credit, God bless him, he didn't spoil it. But it's not really a spoiler if it's like the first playable thing in the game. I kind of suspected this about myself, but this verified it. Guys, I don't like Cloud that much. I think Cloud is kind of a dick and an asshole for most of the games. A jerk. And of Cloud's good traits are the ones that he stole and copied from my favorite Final Fantasy hero, Zack Fair. I told these guys teared up at the beginning of this game because it's one of those things where, like, hey, we're going to let you play as this guy for like a literal minute. You play as Zack Fair, and I was tearing up like, that's my boy. That's my favorite Final Fantasy good boy. I love Zack so much, and Cloud is kind of garbage. Sorry. I like, you know, it's fine. It's Final Fantasy VII. I love the series. I love all things Final Fantasy. But if I had to choose between the two, I mean, yeah, it's Zack, dude.
Does Zack have a sword that's the size of his whole body?
I mean, yes.
I mean, that was his
sword. Spoilers, that's where it came from.
Well, then I will shut the fuck up and play the game.
I mean, yeah, but, you know, for those who've played the original, like, Cloud was always kind of garbage. And, like, this represents a crucial juncture in his personality where he, you know, discovers that's not who he really is. And he needs to rebuild himself and rediscover his real personality. He needs to become a hero.
But everything Final Fantasy since the original game, like all of the extended Final Fantasy stuff, he didn't really rebuild himself into anyone that I liked all that much. Like, sorry, Advent children, you didn't do it for me. He was, it's fine. But anyway, Zack Fair rules. Cloud's fine. That's my review of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah.
Well, you've also been playing Balatro, which is
internet
blowing
sensation. Balatro. Yeah. I'm surprised Michael's letting me talk about it because this came out February 20th, but it is new to me because everyone won't shut up about it. I haven't played a ton of this game, but this is a show first. I shared my screen while playing so that these guys could see what I was doing because this game is very hard to describe other than. I can tell you this. If you know the rules to poker, you will know how to play Balatro.
Right.
But Balatro is like, well, what if we could make poker, single player poker, video poker, fun without actual gambling, which is hilarious because it literally got delisted from storefronts because people said it would lead to gambling. It's like, there's no real gambling here. This is as
it's like video banning a Tom Clancy movie because, like, there was terrorism in there.
Right.
Real terrorism.
But it takes the rules of poker and kind of combines them with a deck building game where there's like a series of rounds. There's like the small blind, the big blind, and then like a boss round. And it's a run-based game, so the whole point is to try to get as far as you can, to go through as many of these rounds as possible. And as you build different poker hands, it will score different point amounts, and you're trying to beat the like a point threshold for every round, right? So small blind is like, your chips have to be worth, have to have 400 chips to advance to the next round. And every time you go through that circuit of the small, big blind, and then the boss, it's going to increase the chip threshold you have to hit. But that's okay because, like any good deck builder, what you're spending your actual money on, and the chips are like kind of, it gives you money in addition to chips, and the money is used in like this shop between rounds of like, well, I'm going to buy these enhancement cards that will stack my multipliers and bonuses. So like if a flush is only worth, and I'm making this up, like 100 points before I have any of those bonus like Joker cards or whatever, the Joker might be like, oh, we're going to make all your, just has a straight 4x multiplier, you know, so it's going to be worth 400 points. You might have one Joker that's like, hey, we're going to make the lowest value card you played each hand worth 10x what it normally would be. So you're trying to pick and buy like the best cards to build the best hand. Like that's the meta of this game, so that you can go on the best run. You know, there's also these things called like vouchers, which are like will in basically affect larger things in the game. So I bought a voucher that's like, you're going to get one more discard ability throughout each round because it caps the number of times you could discard cards, right? Or we're going to let you, in order to reach the chip threshold, we've only given you like four hands you could play to do that. But I have a voucher, you get one more try. You get one more hand to try to hit that chip threshold. So those are really powerful things, but they only last for that entire run. Like they don't, you know, they reset it once you fail the run. But it's got all of the great addictive qualities, not addictive like gambling, addictive, don't delist this thing, but just like, you know, of good run-based, like roguelikes, right? It does that. But what I love about it is a lot of roguelikes take a while to see the meta. This thing fucking teaches you the meta in the tutorial, and you very quickly grasp like, oh, the real game here is this, how I'm designing and building my deck around the actual hand-to-hand poker cards I'm playing. It's not like a five-card draw poker game, but it's just like you have like, I don't even know how many it is, but it might be like 10 cards. Pick the best five. That will be the hand you're playing. And you can also play fewer than five if you want. You can actually be like, you know what? I don't have any more discards. I need to get these cards out of my hand. I'm just going to play four cards this round, get whatever points, which are never going to be as much as a real poker hand, but okay, I'll get some points for those cards I played so I can get new cards in my hand, right? So it's got all kinds of cool shit. I love it. Safe to say it's early game of the year contender for me. Like that's how much liking this game.
I know two people who are playing it and that's what they say. So I'm downloading this right when we're done.
Yeah. I'll learn
and
how
it's
to
only
play
$15,
poker for this
game. I should also say, like,
you know how to play poker.
I do not. I went to Vegas when I was 13. I learned nothing from that trip.
Oh man!
If it makes you feel any better, I don't either. Like, I have
first
no
thing
idea
you're
going to
want is a pair of snowmen. You want a pair of snowmen.
Yeah, you need the snowmen.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Easy taught me that. That is true. Yeah.
Get a sailboat.
And one-eyed jacks are worth more than the regular ones, right, Chris?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The red one. All reds, baby.
All reds.
Look, I am going back to Vegas later this year. Do not lead me astray, because I will return with fire under my heart.
Okay. I mean, I have that every day. That's just called heartburn. Yeah, acid reflux. Yeah. I got to get checked out.
God. Look, once I hit 30, we'll see. No, I'm
I hate that he hasn't hit 30 yet.
Yeah. It's irritating. It's irritating.
I was 16 when you were born.
Good Lord. Michael could have driven your mother to the hospital to deliver you. That's how old he was when you were born.
Yeah, in a cab with no internet.
What were you doing in the suburbs of Jacksonville, Florida?
I can tell you. 9/11. That's what he was doing.
That's God. That's
all right. Jesus Christ. Unicorn Overlord, I keep wanting to call Unicorn Overload.
Sega game, Sega employee here, but Michael's talking about it, not me.
Yeah, so I played a bunch of the demo, which is pretty generous with the amount of content that's in there. I played for like a couple of hours, did not run out. It is the first chapter. The first chapter has a lot of content in it. If you are not sure whether or not this is a game for you, good news, you can download a chunk of it for free and try it out. So I've heard this compared a lot to Ogre Battle. Mm-hmm. There's certainly some similarities there. I also feel like there's a little bit of Fire Emblem in that, like, it's a lot of it is built around pairing characters up, and the more they fight together, the more like you'll develop their social links and they'll support each other and you'll unlock new dialogue options. That's very, very Fire Emblem. But
and also Persona.
Yeah, sure. But the structure of this game, I did not expect to like it going in, because it is not a game you really play very much. So you move around on the map. You have like several units that you can set up and deploy. Your input is mostly like, okay, for this unit, this unit can have three people in it. So I'm going to put in my Lord character, the leader. I'm going to put in a shield guy next to him so that he can block attacks. I'm going to put a cavalry guy behind him. And then he will go out into the world, and based on this layout, he encounters other enemies, and then there's just an auto battle. And so you get to see, like, okay, how well does this formation, how well do these characters hold up against other characters? And it's all automated. It looks very pretty because it's a Vanillaware game. It's super beautifully animated 2D. And it's surprisingly really fun. Even though you don't have, like, that direct input of, like, oh, I'm going to tell them how to attack. Like, no, it's all determined by formation and character order and you want to find the best combinations of characters that will be extremely destructive together.
I don't know why you say surprisingly, like, because I've played a lot of
because if you
games.
Tell me if you describe this to me and it's just like it's a game that plays itself, that is an automatic turnoff for me, honestly.
But it doesn't play itself. You have to choose the squad and
yeah
stuff.
You
like
you dictate the strategy
yeah.
But you're not, there's no hands-on involvement in the battles themselves, like mm-hmm. The battles will play out according to decisions you've made beforehand mm-hmm. But you don't actually have a direct involvement.
This is the team behind 13 Sentinels mm-hmm. This is the team behind Dragon's mm-hmm. Crown, Odin's yep. Sphere, like they okay. They have a pretty good pedigree.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. But yeah. Yeah, it is really good. Yeah. I strongly recommend it, actually. Mm-hmm. So check that out if you want a tactical RPG. Also, Euphoria the Saga 2, which I referenced at the beginning of the show.
I love Zendaya.
It's a game I played instead of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth over the weekend because I started on it. It's like, yeah, this is kind of cute. And then I just found it sort of irresistible and couldn't stop playing it. Like, it's not particularly difficult. It is a 2D platformer in the style of like an old NES game where you keep revisiting this handful of levels and they will reshuffle. And there's a very, very light roguelite elements in it. Like, oh, the layout is somewhat different this time. But again, you will recruit early on these four different whimsical characters and they each have different skills. The main character is a cute baby penguin with a beanie named Eberike. And like everybody has these things called popoons that they can pick up and throw. And the entire thing looks like everything is, it's very like, you know, Yoshi's Woolly World or something where like everything looks like it's made from yarn. Like there's like little strings hanging off the sides of some of the characters. If you look closely, and it's just sort of, yeah, an adorable little game about fighting an alien who comes and just spreads corrosive jelly all over your world. And, then you follow him up into space and you have a boss fight and suddenly it's over. Oh, and, it's $25. So,
man, if I had a nickel every time I paid $25 to have corrosive jelly in my world,
you would be the maker of the blob.
Yeah,
exactly. And I'd also be fired because that is under Embracer now. So
yeah. True. It's true. Oh, very, God. You work, put that together very quickly. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. The HQ is on like the side lobe of my brain, maybe not frontal, but it's right there.
I was going to say a THQ fanboy. We found one.
Dude, I got four Darksiders statues right above this frame.
Okay. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, only their good stuff. You won't see me repping, I don't know. I don't have any Agents of Mayhem merch, I'll tell you
same
that.
Same team behind Remnant, Chris, or half the team at least.
Ooh.
So.
Yeah, they Remnant. Made Darksiders 3 and the top-down one.
Mm. I have a Darksiders tombstone with team. My name on it. It what? Says that I died in the apocalypse.
The video game
apocalypse.
Yes. Bingo, it was a freebie from a press event, actually. It's made of solid granite and it weighs a ton. It will kill me someday if
wow.
I put it on a high shelf.
I well, love the idea of that killing you.
Yeah.
Well, I guess poetic. You took it for granted.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
Yes.
But yeah, Euphoria is super cute. You have the four different characters, like one just throws balls, and then the other one can swim, and then the third one can jump really far, because he's a ghost, of course, that follows. Then you get, like, a deep sea creature who can dive, and then toward the end of the game, the original character who has no special talent suddenly gets a plunger that lets him climb walls. So it's adorable. Also adorable, Snufkin Melody of Moomin Valley. Who's up in the Moomin Troll crew here? Who else has read the beloved children's books by Finnish author Tove Jansson?
No, man, Peyo for life. That guy can die.
But okay, so Moomin Troll, Moomin Valley. It's a series of children's books. It's extremely popular in Europe and Japan. It got a game this week where you play as Snufkin, who's like this little hippie wanderer guy. Usually has like a pipe, but I guess we don't do tobacco references anymore. So now he spends the whole game with just like a piece of straw hanging out of his mouth. And he is coming back to Moomin Valley after spending winter away, and his friend Moomin Troll isn't around anywhere. And there are all these horrible, oppressive parks that have been built in this former natural wonderland. So he's going around and disrupting them and pulling out all the signs and breaking all the rules and avoiding the cops. So it's like a stealth puzzle musical adventure game. It's kind of neat. If you're into Moomin Valley, you will probably enjoy it.
I would say I'm interested in this, but also for folks who might not know at all what you're talking about, there's a meme of this main character folding a knife. Like, that might be a connective tissue for you. But it looks really nice. It gives me a lot of that bicycle game with, like, a bunch of kids walking around.
Knights on Bikes.
Thank you. Yeah. Knights and Bikes. Yeah. It looks a lot like that. It's very cute. I definitely want to give this one a shot.
Yeah. And, the Moomins, if you maybe need a mental image, they look like hippos. They're like little hippo creatures. They're very
cute. Imagine a very soft hippo, like, folding a butterfly knife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Imagine a soft hippo. I'm living in the body of one.
Yeah. An interesting little bit of trivia here in that there was a Moomin anime in, like, the 60s, and it was notorious for, like, you know, turning Moomin Troll into, like, this troublemaker who was, like, interested in making money and shooting guns and stuff like that. And so Tove Jansson, the author, said, like, no, my Moomin is not a troublemaker. This is completely getting it wrong. And so the animator in charge of the project escalated and put him in a tank. And author protested again. The animator was fired. And that animator grew up to be Hayao Miyazaki.
No!
This is a true story. Now that I think about it, but yeah, this is,
if you've never seen my favorite, like, one of my top 10 favorite YouTube videos, the Golden Age of Video, and I thoroughly recommend it, even closing out with it. It's very British, but it's a song made out of clips from famous movies. And even if you don't, I know The Prisoner. There's a Moomin reference in there.
Wow.
Like, is it, yeah, like, in the midst of all this 30 Rock, Simpsons, RoboCop, Moomin? Moomin.
Moomin.
Hello,
Moomin. Hello, Moomin. Yeah. Also, the Outlast Trials, on a remarkably different note. You know Outlast, right? It's the terrifying horror game where you're defenseless.
Now try it on a motorcycle.
And now try it with three friends.
That was a Trials joke? I love that.
That was a Trials joke. I the Ubisoft guy was the last one to get it.
And also WWE 2K24 is out this week.
If you paid a lot of money, you're probably playing it. But the rest of us, I don't think it's out till Friday or something like that. Later in the week, anyway.
Yeah, but we'll talk about it next week. Anyway, in the meantime, let's move on to
Xbox had, okay, I can't keep up with all the different names of all these different streams. So this one was called a partner preview for March 2024, where they I don't know, I didn't sense that there were any, like, huge, like, new game announcements or anything like this, but, you know, it kind of felt like smaller, more indie-ish games. I don't know if you guys saw any of the news.
Saw the highlights.
You saw the highlights. Was there anything that stood out to you?
Several games that sounded exactly the same. there was a lot of cinematic trailers, which gets confusing.
Okay. The stuff that stood out to me, Xbox is finally getting the full version of Final Fantasy XIV just in a matter of weeks now. So that is coming March 21st. It is weird to think that game has mostly just been, PC and PlayStation up until now. Because
Chucky and Roblox, that's the one that stood out.
Hell yeah.
The Chucky thing was the big one to me. So there is a Roblox game where you play as Chucky, and I think it's officially licensed. Because there's a lot of Roblox game where you play as a lot of characters that the IP owners don't know about. But this one is official. That Griefville Survive the Nightmare allows you to play as Chucky, but only for a limited time event. So,
if you've ever wanted to be 9 and stab someone as a doll, saying "You fucking bitch, you fucking bitch," you can now do that.
I mean, this muddies the water. Is Roblox for kids or not? Because why is Chucky in here if it's for
kids,
children?
I've found no universal thing amongst the children I've met in my travels, other than that they all love horror. Horror.
Yeah, yeah.
Any, however old, they all know everything about it. It's fucking awesome.
They love more spooky horror. Like, there are some kids who do love gory, outright horror, but I think kids are more into, the idea of horror and maybe not seeing the actual scary stuff. So I'm curious with the Chucky stuff. Like, they're more into Five Nights at Freddy's, right? Where most of that horror is implied more than explicit. Yeah, yeah.
So, I would say no. They met a ton of 9 to 17 year olds who love the gory stuff and Chucky included.
I was a kid in the '80s on the playgrounds. I loved hearing my friends who had seen the Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street movies tell me about them.
I've done so many podcasts talking about that because your video store would have one copy of each. Mm-hmm. So I want to get into the Friday the 13th series. Well, you better starting at 5 because that's where you're going. And that was my history. And Chucky is the most fascinating horror series in history. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It is amazing. Everything, every single Chucky thing should be seen. It's great. Mm-hmm. Except for the remake. It's dumb.
Let's see other stuff in here. The first 3 Stalker games are getting remastered for consoles. Into that.
After I read that story about those wolves who are immune to cancer from living in Chernobyl for 40 years, I went and watched Chernobyl again while I played Helldivers, which I thought was appropriate. I couldn't be more Chernobyl-addled right now.
Yeah. So, this is basically them getting you ready to play that new Stalker game that has understandably been delayed because the dev is literally in a war zone in Ukraine, right? So Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl, if you're getting ready for that, you can play the original games, which are Shadow of Chernobyl, Clear Sky, and Call of Pripyat. I might be saying that wrong. Sorry if I am. But those are getting remastered. Yeah, yes.
Very excited for those games, but a Steam Deck verification, can that happen maybe? Seems like it's not coming out on Steam, this new remaster.
Yeah, of course they are. Eventually.
Speaking of Ukraine, I'm also very excited for The Sinking City 2.
I was going to ask about that, because I know you like the original. Right?
I loved the original, even though it was I don't think it reviewed very well, but it was it's a Lovecraftian open world. But it's not entirely a horror game. It's sort of what if Lovecraft was, there's a town somewhere in New England where the most prominent citizen is clearly some sort of ape man. And there's a bunch of the, are they the deep ones, the human fish man hybrids from the Shadow over Innsmouth, I think. And they're just they're refugees from that story. After the army came and blew up their town, they're we're just honest fishmen trying to make a living over here. and so you're a private detective and you go around and you solve mysteries in the town and you take on cases for people and you investigate haunted houses and find cursed relics and stuff like that. And it's a lot of fun. And so I'm really excited to see Frogwares. I guess they had a legal dispute with their publisher.
Yeah.
And I guess that's been settled because they're finally moving ahead with the sequel.
Yay! So,
next year. That's exciting news.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And then last bit for me that there's other stuff, so please go check it out. But Frostpunk 2. Frostpunk is one of those games that I've always wanted to play, that everyone who's played it loves it, and I just missed it. I was just like, yeah, I feel like the hype is over for this thing. But the sequel is coming this July, July 25th on PC, and it's going to be a day one PC Game Pass game. So yet another reason for me to continue my Ultimate Game Pass subscription, so I'll be able to play that when it comes out. Day one, baby. So
I plan to watch the Noah Call Old Gervais video that Neville gets made about it, but not a strategy person. I will give a very quick shout-out if I can. Path Please. Of the Goddess looks incredible. Oh my God, Capcom's always cooking something, but it's nice to see that they're still cooking new and original concepts and not just, you know, the stuff from 10 years ago again.
Kunitsugami Path of the Goddess, is that the full
title?
They added that
with this new reveal. So yeah, very excited about that. Excited for people to get that Persona 3 DLC, so now it's the completed version with all the characters and all the story. And the first Berserker looks really neat, too. That's pretty much all I wanted to shout out to. First Berserker looks cool. Know nothing about it, but it looks cool.
There's also a new Monster Jam game coming. Like, I've never been into the Monster Truck games, but, like, should I? Should I try a Monster Truck game?
Because they go like this. Monster Jam. Look, this new Monster Jam game looks very Hot Wheels Unleashed coded, which is tickling my brain in the way I want it.
I just bought that at a garage sale, but I love how you made it sound lascivious.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very Hot Wheels Unleashed coded.
That's what the kids are saying now. They just say X-Thing coded.
Yeah. All right, fair enough. Next bit of news. So Warner Brothers, I don't know if this was during an earnings call or where it was is announced, but it was the head, not the head of Warner Brothers Interactive, like the studio behind the big like Harry Potter game that was a huge hit last year that sold 22 million copies or whatever. There's like another gaming person above him that also oversees all Warner's like mobile and stuff like that. But anyway, he was quoted. It was very odd, because, and the reason I bring up the Harry Potter thing is this guy was quoted as saying like they're in the process of reevaluating sort of the bets they place because video games are getting more and more
expensive.
We
made one game that sold 22 million copies, but we don't think this investment is working.
But that's what's wild, though. But what he does think is working, and this was just like a week after Warner Brothers confirmed that performance of the Suicide Squad game wasn't up to expectations, but what they said was we're going to continue to explore more like live servicey games. They basically want games that you play for 5 years and pay them a bunch of money over time.
What he should have said, what I read it as, is I executive produced 16 seasons of conjoined twins at the head, and now I oversee video games. And why can't this be as cheap and exploitative as why can't all video games be like that? Because there's no mention of Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat is a fucking Warner Brothers property. So what? Suicide Squad did bad. Like, how much your other catalog did okay?
And Mortal Kombat, I guess on the console side, it's sort of live service-y. Like, they have seasons and stuff, but like, Mortal Kombat has a bunch of stuff going on mobile that we don't pay any attention to. Like, that is way more live servicey, that they're probably making a lot of money on those. It's just, it's a little, I guess, frustrating.
Yes.
Because we all wanted just another Arkham. We got Suicide Squad. And, like, Michael and I both played, I think you finished it now, right, Michael?
Yeah, I did.
Like, we both played through it, and like the story part, it's not as bad, maybe, as I would have even had you believe at times on the show.
I liked the story quite a bit,
but
actually,
like, there's a lot of frustrating things in that game. Also, one of the frustrating things, I got a code for like this amazing version that's supposed to come with like, oh, you get it the season one pass or whatever. That still has not launched. That's launching March 28th, which will feature playable Joker. So maybe it will get better over time as they add new playable characters.
Maybe a playable Joker will redeem this game.
Well, I think the game's main issue is that, like, yeah, they do kind of send the same like handful of enemy types after you, and they inject variety by continually doing this thing in like all the side missions where like they add modifiers and requirements. Like in this mission, you can only damage enemies with critical hits, or you have to hit them with an elemental attack before you can damage them. And it keeps layering on all these little systems and mini games and stuff like that, that like it's possible to take them in stride, but like they do that up until the end of the game. Yeah. And so you're constantly being introduced to new things that you have to keep track of. And then you will be introduced to side missions that focus entirely on like, here, use this new mechanic we just introduced to damage your enemies. And, you know, I understand why a lot of people had issues with that. Like, that's not wonderful. But the story is fantastic. And I think other than like the cooldown meters for traversal, everything feels really good. So,
yeah,
but I think part of my frustration with this announcement is, so Warner has some amazing dev studios that have made some amazing, like big single player games, right? Like Warner owns Traveler's Tales games, or TT games is I guess their new official name, but like that, they did that amazing Lego Star Wars game, the Skywalker saga, right? Absolutely. A big single player experience. They've done the Arkham games. They do the Mortal Kombat games. And yes, the Mortal Harry Kombat Potter games game, are based which was
the best Harry Potter game that's ever existed, even if you are politically aligned with boycotting.
It seems to me, and us as people who probably pay way too much attention to video games, like all of their big successes are these big bet, single player type, you know, story based, big world games, right? Not necessarily the live service stuff.
There's a Pokemon Go version of Harry Potter that I, you know,
right?
I know kids. I don't hear anybody talking about that.
No, I thought that thing died. It didn't.
Yeah, right.
It didn't. Like work.
Magic Awaken? Is that the name of it?
Maybe.
I don't know. It's an Emmett exclusive.
Maybe. But like, I
have
heard
this quote might be taken a little bit out of proportion, in that like, you know, what he actually said was like, well, you know, Suicide Squad was a disappointment for us financially, so we're going to be focusing a lot on our mobile portfolio and our live games. Like, the existing live games that are proven to make money is more or less what he said. And he also said, like, that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to back off of AAA games. But
okay.
Yeah, well, it's a quote coming from a company that has shelved a Batgirl, a Scooby-Doo, and a Wile E. Coyote movie.
No goodwill.
Yeah, no goodwill.
A deficit of goodwill at this point.
Negative will.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Nobody's giving them the benefit of the doubt right now. That's for sure.
Yeah. And, I mean, this all comes like a week after EA announced kind of a pivot with what they were going to focus on, right? So they basically... So, Chris, I'm going to let you guess. When EA announces we're going to pivot away from licensed IP, what licenses does EA...
Star Wars!
There it is. That's the only... Other than the sports games, which they made sure to call out, like, oh, we're going to continue sports. But it's like,
sports
when you say licensed IP, the only license you still own, Star Wars. So, basically, that deal is expiring. It's done, and they're
not
done
making
Star Wars games.
There's no Respawn Mandalorian game, which sounds like it could be great, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Was that the one that got canceled? Because they did cancel a first-person shooter.
Yeah. And then they are apparently still doing the Jedi sequel. So we'll get a trilogy of those
games. We'll get a trilogy of that. Yeah. But maybe no more after that, you know? Their focus is on license. Well, it's not on licensed IP. It's on sports and then
their
stuff
own
they
licenses,
own, which I'm like, well, what do you own? You own from
Mutant
Corsair.
League Football?
Well, they own a lot.
Titanfall 2.
I should rephrase that. Yeah. They own
Titanfall,
a lot that they
302010, 10 years old this week.
Yeah. So that is the only positive I'm thinking. I mean, there's a lot of positive, but when I saw that news, like the one thing I was like, oh, does this mean we're going to get another Titanfall or Apex Legends because they're technically the same universe or whatever? Like, because that's what they're focusing on is stuff that they own. But we also have to remember EA owns a lot of shit that they just no longer acknowledge, like SimCity.
Yeah.
That's them.
Spore.
I mean, there is kind of a lot. Like EA.
Dead Space. Yeah.
For a while.
Def Jam,
there,
for Christ's sake.
Def Jam. Def Jam. Yeah.
For a while, the big joke was EA would acquire dev studios and then shut them down. Like studios like Westwood Studios, right? Like, so like. If I want to be an optimist, which I'm normally not, I'm a very pragmatic person, I look at that and go, well, maybe that does mean they're going to revive some of these dormant brands that they've just been sitting on and not doing anything with over the years. But probably not. It probably just means they'll focus on sports and Apex Legends.
No, like, it was also the 10th anniversary next week of the Need for Speed movie.
Mm.
And Need for Speed Unbound just hit your Game Passes, and it is very, very good.
I like that
game. One of the best Need for Speeds in a long time, but that was an annual franchise, and we're coming on 3 years. Don't see it.
It. Other stuff they own? Burnout? God. Instead of Need for Speed?
There's a company, the same company that did the Port of Paradise back in the day. They've been teasing that they're doing something involving the word Takedown. And everyone's losing their mind that it's either Burnout 3 remaster or some type of original Burnout thing.
The problem is Criterion, everyone who worked on Burnout is gone from Criterion at this point. True. And Criterion, they have them do weird stuff now. Like, in addition to Need for Speed, it's like they put them on shooters now. Like, they're just
Looking at something, and like, when a shooter company folds, like, you go work at Criterion now. Like, the racing game makers. I designed Artillery.
To be fair, Criterion did Black, which was a fantastic shooter on OG Xbox.
Okay. A real Halo killer, if I recall.
Yeah, absolutely. It was kind of revolutionary for its time. But
Hey, if they're going to just focus on their own IP, then I feel like there's a good chance that we could be eaten. You can get a Black 2, you can get a Burnout, you can get an Army of 2 again, you can get another Alice game potentially.
They have a lot of good IP. Just calling it early, that's going to be our question of the week, is what dormant EA franchise do you want to see brought back? To which everyone should answer NBA Street, please.
Nemesis.
Yeah.
NBA Street's a great
They don't own that, Michael, so that's good. We don't.
They own the imperfects.
Yeah, that shit wasn't perfect. Yeah.
How do you get to the leading game developer? It's depressing. One of the leading game developers doesn't care about anything that it owns.
Well, hey, when we get a second Syndicate first-person shooter.
Oh, stop it.
Save it for the question of the week.
Rosario Dawson's back.
Anyway, let's see. This is so funny. There's not much to say about this, but hey, if you're a game developer, you should remember that there's such thing as leap years. Because
that is so funny.
One of my favorite games of last year, The At Rhythm Final Fantasy on Switch, did not work on February 29th. And seemingly because they didn't account for the fact that there could be a February 29th, because that's one of those games that like it connects online with so many, for so many things. It's that game is so weird because there's these like live service elements, and there are people who like check in and play the game. There are daily quests in
to this day.
Rhythm game.
And the funniest thing about it is the only reason that exists is not necessarily to protect the copyright. Like, these songs released this date, and if your clock is back this date, you know. The game wanted to know when it was your birthday. That's what it was checking for, and that they didn't put on the servers that there was a February 29th every 4 years.
They forgot.
This game didn't work for a fucking day. It wasn't as like nefarious as you would think. The game wanted to know whether you got your free pancakes.
It just it was looking for daily quests for a day that didn't exist in the coding, right? And so it just literally hung on a screen that's like connecting, infinitely connecting for that day. And then I guess my assumption is March 1st. Okay, we're back, and you can play.
That IGN article about it is one of the funniest things I've ever read, which IGN has confirmed. And like, because you loaded up your theater rhythm. You're adorable. Keep going. I'm glad you have a person doing this.
I love that people were saying they Y2K'd it.
Yeah. and how do you get around it? Change the date on your Switch code the same way you get games early.
There you go.
Because the Switch and Nintendo are really dumb in every other respect. Yeah. You can trick your Switch into thinking it's the future or the past very easily.
I've never done that in Animal Crossing. People who do are dirtbags.
Yes. Mr. Rossetti will have something to say about your theater rhythm playing.
No, he
on
doesn't
20-
care about time travel. I've never not time traveled in an Animal Crossing game. Come and get me!
Mm-hmm. That's the real piracy. Time piracy.
Yeah, time cops.
Time
come
travel
get
by
me, Jean-Claude
once.
Van Damme. Time cop, come find me. So speaking of funny things, we say the leap year thing's funny. Rest in peace to it's a crew that I used to think was quite funny. Rooster Teeth is no more.
They were very funny.
The people who famously, they made themselves famous based on what, the Red versus Blue series of Machinima, which, do people still say Machinima? Is that still a thing? Do kids know what I'm talking about when I say Machinima?
I don't know that people call it that, because I don't know if Michael remembers that. We're like, every time we're in a meeting about our content, like, look at what Machinima is doing.
Yeah.
And Machinima is a long dead brand.
Machinima.
But we still call those types of videos Machinima. So I guess, you know, the cultural touchstone is still there. But yeah, RT is no more. I'm kind of bummed out about this. I used to go to RTX all the time. I used to watch a couple of their programs.
That's right, they had RTX. Jeez Louise, I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe that's one of the reasons why, hey, we're not making money off of this, because they're renting out auditoriums every year. But yeah, it's just a bummer. That's a lot of jobs lost. That's a lot of like internet history coming to a close. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the biggest bummer to me is that they were like a ragtag internet group like us. Mm-hmm. That found a way to go legit and make money. It just wasn't enough money for seven corporate acquisitions.
I want to ask you, speaking of acquisitions, Chris, maybe who do you think owned them? It might be a company we talked
Warner.
About earlier.
It's fucking Warner, for fuck's sake. Yes. Like, what is this? And the guy who made the conjoined twin 16 seasons in 2 years, like, people have to draw this? That takes time. I don't like it.
Well, and then Michael reminded me, like, there, because I saw the images with, like, in the Variety story, and I'm like, what anime shit is this? And he's like, oh, they made Ruby as well. Yeah. And I'm like, that's right. That's their, probably their much bigger hit than Red versus Blue.
It's nine seasons.
It's had multiple games based on it.
Leads me to believe people care. And, like, that's how fucking heartless Warner has been with this shit. And the only testament I have to where you're not monsters, every time I load up that HBO Max app, like, what's new? Give me a new, what's a new show I can watch? And it's like, John Oliver, number two, My Slave Wife, or like it's one of those things. It's like
the first two seasons of Rap Shit before we canceled it.
yes. Sometimes it's a fucking canceled show. But it's an exploitative reality show, because that to them is like, this is the same. Batman is the same as John and Kate plus eight. Like,
it's all
I just want to rattle them by the shoulders. Like, no, it isn't.
Fuck
no,
Wyland
it isn't
too.
At all.
You got to feed that content machine. I mean, my one brush with Rooster Teeth is I worked on the Fear Games, and we did a Machinima series with them called Panics that wasn't as funny as Red versus Blue, but it was fun at the time, and it was cool to you know, have that little bit of cachet, because they were big back in the day. Like, Red versus Blue was like,
no, they were people making funny, like, unfunny things funny. Yeah. and
like the Blood Gulch series in Red versus Blue is fucking,
and
awesome.
They managed to make a movie, and they managed to make multiple shows, and they went like hyper legit by any fucking standard. Any company that exists for 21 years, our website couldn't exist for
You know who they
years.
Kind of remind me is like the Mystery Science folks, right? Like, they're kind of very much like indie artist dudes in a garage, like, fuck it, let's just do this. And to their credit, I guess they have a pretty successful podcast network that is spinning off and will continue to be its own thing. It just won't be a Warner thing anymore.
I'm shocked that Warner doesn't care about
best podcasts. Of luck to you. Rest in peace, Rooster Teeth. We loved all the stuff, the fun stuff you guys did. That's all the all news that is fit to play.
All right, well, let's move on to the community segment, which is always a segmenting our community. Last week's question of the week: what's your favorite second entry in a series? Emmett, you were
trilogy in a trilogy.
No, it was in a series, any second. The trilogy was our top five. It didn't have to be the question of the week.
Good.
So, Emmett, do you have a favorite number two?
I got a couple favorite number twos. I'll say off the top of my head, without consulting my giant ranked list of every game I love, Bioshock 2.
Yeah,
that's my favorite Bioshock game.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. You can't beat that one. I'm still waiting for them to top that.
It almost made our top five. got close.
Big Sisters were terrifying. Big Sisters are one of the best enemies.
I don't think it's because BioShock 2 is so great. I think it's because BioShock Infinite is fucking terrible.
Nah, 2 was great. 2 was very good.
Yeah. 2 is the best one, if you ask me.
Oh, wow.
Maybe.
No, 1's still really good.
1's pretty good.
All right, 1's good and all, but when you have to sit there and take a photo and not just hit the video and keep going,
yeah,
now, it's fair. Maybe different. Yeah. Actually, I just opened up my list. I was wrong. It's Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, that's really good, yeah.
That's the game. I think about side missions in that game and still cry about it. It's really good.
It's my game of the year and all. Did you hear that the dude who did the voice of Arthur, there's like a book series that's about how Red Dead relates to history, and so he's reading the audiobook. Like,
oh, nice.
I want to listen to that.
Yeah, and then they created the sarsaparilla candy cane, and then I ate it.
I mean, I'm assuming it's just like a, you know, about the Lawless West, right? Mm. But fucking read to by Arthur Morgan?
Hell yeah.
Let's go.
Captain Rasp, I'm upset. Yeah, obsessed.
There's the some bitch Micah.
Isn't the actor actually English, I think?
So, he might be.
Something like that, yeah.
Has to do that accent for hours and hours and hours.
Probably hurts.
Yeah.
He smoked actual Marlboro Reds in order to pay for the role.
No, he actually caught tuberculosis during the making of that game.
He did.
That's very authentic.
He did. Scarlet Rubella. Method. Really hurt. It really hurt.
So method.
All right. Well, on the official Laser Time community on Facebook, Christian Juarez says, my favorite sequel of a trilogy on Xbox 360 would have to be Gears of War 2. After playing the first Gears of War on my buddy's Xbox 360, I knew I had to get an Xbox 360 of my own. I remember going to the midnight release for Gears 2 and completing the 100 rounds of Horde mode with my friends the very same night. With its 19 online multiplayer maps, me and my friends played Gears of War for hundreds upon hundreds of hours, hashtag Delta Squad.
Delta Squad.
My favorite story is still Dave Rudden saying he's at the event and he walked out and Ice Cube called them all F-words.
Fun guys, I'm sure.
Ice Cube, can't wait to hang out with this 50-year-old man. Mm-hmm. 6-year-old man.
What's up, friendlies?
Yeah, that's what
y'all
I
want
meant.
Some car shield?
Did you guys ever go to any midnight game releases?
Yeah,
the last one we went to, Brett and I filmed, it was FF15. That's what was so angering about it. Like, we're open at midnight to get the FF15, and like, I got one. There are plenty. They could have done this at 8 o'clock. It would have been fine.
I think my only one, because I didn't go once I was like in the industry, was for Soul Calibur 2.
Wow, really?
Wow. And that was very much wow, it's kind of crazy that this GameStop in a strip mall is open at midnight, and I'm just going to walk up to the counter, get my copy, and leave. There wasn't, like, lines around the block or anything like that. It was just...
I'm just, not to bitch, we don't have a really good place for this in Digigame Apocalypse, but Horde mode was great because it was, like, really one of the first really well-made modes that was PvE instead of PvP, because PvP... that's what everybody thought multiplayer was. And the updates to Helldivers this week were like, we nerfed all your favorite weapons so you use more. Like, it's not a player versus player game. No one's having a problem killing all these bugs.
The bugs were having a problem, Chris.
Yes,
like, the bugs.
Like, why did you do that? And so, like, I played today, and, like, everyone is playing like morons because, like, none of the right weapons work. It's so infuriating. It's so infuriating.
When you signed up to pilot the Courier of Family Values or whatever the fuck your ship's name is, you didn't sign up for an easy mission, okay?
Excuse me. It is Fist of Family Values.
Good lord.
Fist of Family Values.
Mike Green says, blast from the past, Free Space 2. The story beats were fantastic, wow, and the visuals blew my tiny 15-year-old mind. Seeing the massive Colossus Juggernaut on the Juggernaut for the first time and flying alongside it to evacuating a planet before a star goes supernova, and the memories of the Colossus destruction and ensuing battles to avenge the crew and loss. It's still one of the top sci-fi games to date for me.
God.
Yeah,
I don't remember Free Space at all. I don't remember that series.
Well, on threads.net, Jonesy BKN says, my favorite second game in the series is Saints Row 2.
It's a good
point. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the Saints Row series, especially the original 4 and Get It to Hell. While the first game was really serious and dramatic, the second game was the start of its descent into absolute silliness and compelling, separating itself from the GTA clone and turning it into something all of its own. Yes. Yeah. That's a great story. They improved on the creative player feature, helping to make Saints Row the best franchise that does it, especially the creating minority characters. No Killmonger hairstyle.
Hell yeah. Oh my God, you have no idea.
I saw, wasn't there an IGN article about that, the Killmonger hair?
Yeah.
Recently there was an article. They wanted about to kill Killmonger the swoop. Hair needs to stop. Yeah.
But as someone with, like, I have curly hair. Nobody's hair. I'm never represented in any game. I can't imagine what it's like for fucking people of color.
Not great, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
But they like cornrows, Chris, because they got plenty of cornrows.
Everybody always has cornrows.
Yeah, it's either cornrows, and now we're starting to get a little bit of dreads, but yeah, it was rough out there. But Saints Row's always been pretty good from the second game on.
And they introduced several memorable characters that still get mentioned in spinoffs and reboots. The series got a whole lot of hate with 4, but honestly, it's overblown. Side note for Chris, Charlie... I've never gotten more feedback than about Charlie Ward. I had no idea he was an NBA player. My bad.
For a long time, for the Knicks.
For a really long time.
A terrible, terrible team.
A really long, unremarkable time. Yes.
You know how I know the Knicks are a terrible team? Because T.L. Foster is a fan of the Knicks.
Oh, no.
I think you might can't have say that. I have actually. To see that, man.
Yeah. I do love Saints Row 2. I remember that. I will always remember that as the game where you could rip newspaper vending machines out of the street and parking meters and use them as weapons, which are things Saints Row never did again.
Wow, right.
Yeah, love that game. And you Saints can Row shoot piss out of a cannon, Chris.
Yes, I remember you can shoot shit out of a porta-potty suck-up truck.
Yeah.
Let's see what you think. I love it.
From the hell site, formerly known as Twitter. Bash Crandicoot says,
great name.
Assassin's Creed 2 needs to be mentioned. It's so good. It spawned its own trilogy and made people forget how bad the first one was. AC1 was one note. The free running was awful. And the beggars were so aggressive. You'd think it was set in 2024. Ouch. AC1 was not that bad, dude.
There was nothing
AC1
else like AC1 at the time.
Yeah. I love getting on the horse and being like, I'm going to this city in this far-off country. Screen fades to black, comes back up. I'm in this realm, and it's my new city. Like,
God, very Call of War as one-coded. But yeah, Assassin's Creed 2 is really good. What they did with the climbing system was great. What they did with the story, every single improvement was great. That's when I hopped on the franchise, too. So
You don't start a new franchise at the 9 and 10 level. Like, you got to build there, dude. Come on. Like,
Indeed. But it's not as good as the next sequel that gets mentioned here. Handsome Ralph from Blue Sky says Titanfall 2.
Yeah.
Titanfall 1 was an okay but kind of multiplayer shooter that I remember playing for a grand total of 5 hours or so before moving on to greener pastures. Titanfall 2, however, surpassed all of my expectations. The campaign is incredibly fun, hell yeah, and tightly written, hell yeah. I fall in love with it every time I go back to play it again, and the dynamic between you and BT, your Titan, was one of the best experiences I've had with single-player gaming. The multiplayer is also incredibly fun, which should come as no surprise with Bounty Hunt and Frontier Defense being my two favorite modes. It's unfortunate we're unlikely to see a sequel anytime soon, if ever, and no, Apex Legends doesn't count. I can hope we're reunited with BT one day. I pointed at my Titanfall 2 helmet earlier in the show. That is still technically right now until I decide otherwise. There's another one that's really close, but it's my favorite game of all time. People might remember I had been trying to chase the platinum for a long-ass time, and a while ago on a charity stream, I finally hit it. It's one of the best moments in my life.
Why is it that hard? What's the platinum?
Here's the thing. There's a tutorial mission right at the beginning where you have to run the gauntlet.
Yes,
you have to get a certain time under the gauntlet, and
it's really hard.
See, so you say it's really hard. I say it's really hard. Every one of my friends was like, yeah, I did that in like an hour.
Yeah, those people are nerds. They need to go outside, nerd. Go no, outside, that shit nerd. Was hard.
Exactly. It was really fucking difficult. And that, so I just never got it for several years. And I think on like the game's 6th or 5th anniversary, I finally hit it. And I was like, oh, thank fucking God. So, yeah.
Turns out, Emmett, that believe it or not, Respawn, you know, the people behind Call of Duty Modern Warfare, they actually make pretty decent single-player shooter campaigns. It'd be foolish of a company like EA to cancel a single-player first-person shooter game that that company was working on. Surely they wouldn't do that.
Especially if it was with an unpopular franchise like The Mandalorian.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Regardless of whether or not you played as Din Djarin. Which you
That's the weird part to me is like, wait, so this is Respawn. This is the first person shooter people working on a first person, and you canceled that for more Apex.
Yeah. Well, look, they said they're working on another game in the Titanfall universe. I have no idea. They say it's not Titanfall 3. Maybe it's like the Apex Legends Titanfall game that got rumored a while back where it was kind of like Doomish.
The Titanfall trilogy, even if it includes Apex Legend, is excellent. That is one of the best versions of that game I've ever played in my life. And we had to talk about it on 302010 this week because I love Titanfall 1. And I love Titanfall 2 is the best 10-year-old game I've ever played in my life. Yeah. It's fucking beautiful.
It's really good. It's absolutely really good. I'm mad that I didn't think of this. Mike, I'm going to let you say it because I know you got mad you didn't bring this up last week. What's your actual answer to this question? Because some other people commented with this one, and I know you wanted to get credit for saying this on the show.
I don't remember.
Shadow of the
Colossus. Oh, yeah. Shadow of the Colossus. Yeah, that's a real, like, I didn't even think about that as a trilogy at the time. And was coming in afterwards like, yeah, shit, I guess it is, isn't it? Like, you had Eco, and like, it's a trilogy of spiritual successors by the same team.
The literal hand-holding trilogy.
Yeah, and there are suggestions that, like, you know, Shadow of the Colossus is a prequel to Eco. I think that's right. Generally accepted.
That's what people say, yeah.
Yeah. That's the fan theory, at least. We do have a video response.
Oh,
from Cody Smith coming at us, I'm sure, with the high production values that only we get to see. Only I get to
only
see.
Only the finest.
Actually. Yes.
Mike Amari, he's giving you a run for your money, bro. Come on, Mike Amari.
Step it up. Here we go.
What's up, Video Game Apocalypse? It's Cody, and I wanted to talk to you about your question of the week for episode 564. What is a great center of a gaming trilogy? Now, for good reason, you guys took some creative liberties when discussing a trilogy. For example, yes. Assassin's Creed 4 is the center of that specific Assassin's Creed trilogy, and it's nested within the story. So I've decided to take that example and use a creative liberty to discuss a series that is long-running, but has had many developers. So I'm going to be looking at the center of the Bethesda trilogy of Wolfenstein games, Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus. Now, my I think brother. Bethesda has done a hit-or-miss job with the Wolfenstein series. And while Wolfenstein is a perfectly serviceable first-person shooter and I think has an interesting story, having an alternate history where Nazis rule America and Americans have to fight to take them over is an interesting backdrop for a story. But I think that it's trying to do two different things. For one, you're trying to be an American hero that goes and kicks Nazi ass. But the way your life bar depletes when you take damage kind of makes it feel more like you're trying to be somewhat stealthy. And I think there's kind of conflicting messages between like a badass American fighting for freedom and like a stealthy game that where you have to take out the Nazis from the inside. And I think that it kind of struggles with that identity. And maybe Youngblood was emblematic of that, like trying to change too much of what made Wolfenstein Wolfenstein. But I don't know. I'm happy to hear what you guys have to say about it. Once again, fuck Nazis, and we'll see you tonight.
Was that your attempt at bleeping fuck?
That was his attempt. But yeah, I thought about this one, but it's like, well, is Youngblood really Wolfenstein 3? It doesn't quite feel like it. It feels like a sequel, but also a spinoff.
I would say Youngblood is a sidequel, if anything. Mm-hmm. The real Wolfenstein 3 is yet to come out. But I honestly really love this pick. I think Wolfenstein 2 is one of the greatest shooters ever made. Mm-hmm. I think I'd argue the whole thing about the fragility with your health bar and whatnot in the beginning of the game, I think that ties into the character of BJ at that point of his life. Mm-hmm. I think it's more of a character aspect rather than fighting against the fantasy of America standing up to Nazis. But he still has great taste for picking this game in the first place. So absolutely one of the best games out. I hope Indiana Jones comes out quickly so I can get even less time in between me and the next Wolfenstein.
It's going to be terrible.
What, the Indiana Jones game?
It can't be. Come on.
It's going to be fine, but it won't be Wolfenstein. I'll tell you that much.
No. It needs to be really violent to be Wolfenstein. Question of the week. What dormant EA franchise should they focus on? Should they bring back? I'm going to go for the low-hanging fruit and say The Sims. There used to be a time when there was way too much Sims in the world. We had multiple console games that sort of simplified the gameplay.
My Sims!
Yeah, there was My Sims, and of course there was the main Sims series. We had Sims 4 roughly 10 years ago, and we've had a bunch of expansions that have mostly been like cosmetic stuff, like small house living and eco-friendly living, whatever. Who cares? I want a new Sims with a new engine. I want something that takes advantage of the AI potential, and I mean that as in artificial intelligence, as in like the character intelligence, not as in like generative AI.
Not as in just losing to clarify. Developer jobs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But the potential of modern hardware to create interesting computer people.
That is the best answer.
It's the only answer.
I mean, none of you are allowed to
answer.
Not a Sims
20 years ago, that was the game that made gamers that are non-gamers. The Sims.
Turned my mom into a gamer.
Yeah.
She's like, I finally understand why you got so angry when I'd interrupt you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Hell yeah.
Suck it, mother.
Mm-hmm. So most people know, like, the obvious answer for me would be like NBA Street. I am getting one of my wishes. They are reviving NCAA football, so can't wait for that. So I'm going to give one that I don't – well, I mean, I've talked about it on this show. But, like, if I really dig down to even, like, what is the one game series that EA technically owns that they just haven't done anything with? It's Burnout. Like, my favorite gaming memories of all time are with the Burnout series. Burnout in its form. Like, I don't care that they worked on Need for Speed shit and all that. I want a proper Burnout game in the style of, like, Takedown. You know, just give me a fucking Burnout Takedown. Multiple modes. Have it be races. Of course, you know, do your dangerous shit to build up your Burnout. Fire that off. I want to careen into another car and then show me a cool camera angle of that car fucking flying off the track. Give me the crash mode. I love seeing the crash mode. Like, give me a proper Burnout game. The fact that they haven't is insane.
It's what I don't get about EA in general. There is a remaster of Burnout Paradise and Need for Speed
Hot Pursuit. Burnout Paradise, by the way, my least favorite Burnout.
No,
sorry,
me too.
I know it was the open world Burnout. It's my least favorite one.
But Hot Pursuit, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, which was a fucking Burnout game. Mm. Period. There has not. Is anybody begging you for another Need for Speed remaster?
That's what's wild. It feels like they bought Burnout to bury Burnout because they're like, well, we have Need for Speed, and that must be the dominant arcade racing franchise. And it's like, no, Burnout was winning. Why didn't you stick with Burnout? Like, no one was asking for Need for Speed.
People who don't like racing games like Burnout. Why has this not happened? Yeah.
Look, recreation is our sole hope right now. Hopefully Three Fields can, because Three Fields is made up of a lot of ex-Criterion people who did Burnout. So hopefully recreation comes out and that's a stellar hit. But yeah, I'm right there with you. Burnout probably would have been my main pick, but because you picked it, let me go left instead of right. I already talked about Def Jam, but I got to be honest with you. Def Jam sounds cool, and as much as I'd love the fight logic or something in a video game, Plants vs. Zombies? Can we please get like a
AAA? What is happening with Plants vs. Zombies?
Because the third-person shooters, the multiplayer ones, were so polished and so fun, it's insane that they have not like made a single-player campaign of some
for real
sort with those mechanics.
I was at an arcade recently, and they just stole Plants vs. Zombies art for the arcade machine. And like that's how dead the fucking this franchise is.
I remember one of the saddest E3 moments I ever witnessed is like this was sort of at the peak of Plants vs. Zombies popularity. So it was to coincide with the first shooter game, right? Which at the time was a weird spinoff. Like, why are they doing a third person shooter? They had a person in costume at E3, and I just remember seeing them walk around. And normally at E3, even though it was like a business thing, like people would stop and want to pose with characters. no one paid any attention to that poor costume character and their handler. Like, no one wanted a picture. It was just like, oh, yeah, whatever. Like, I don't give a shit about that.
Was
I
it
felt
like a
so
peapod?
Bad. It was like, it was a zombie. It was a zombie in costume.
I'll tell you what it was. It was some intern's best day of their life. Like, I've talked to so many people. Surely this qualifies me for a job. Oh, no.
Oh,
no. Man. Oh, no.
Well, now there's a zombie on your lawn.
I'm totally with you. Like JR and I, we put so much time in PVZ 1 and 2, and Garden Warfare is fine, but like, is that really it for this whole franchise? Like, it's something I've completed on 4 platforms.
Chris, why are you letting it drag on? Just say Populous already. We know your answer is going to be Populous.
I don't have a good answer, really. I've thrown out a bunch. Personally, Mutant League Football has, I think, is not wholly owned by EA. So they did redo that.
I think they
that.
Spun off and they do their own thing. Yeah.
They did redo that. I was playing the Dead Space remaster and like, this is fucking excellent. This is so fucking good. But I wanted to say like Skate, but Skate is, I think,
back.
From
back
those developers are coming back through different people. Yeah, I don't have a great answer. I really don't.
SSX, that's your answer. Yep. I'm assigning SSX to Chris.
Oh, that is the only EA franchise I own a fucking action figure from.
Really? Which one?
David Arquette's SSX Tricky character. I found it on a discount on the very early internet for $2.
The white guy with the huge afro.
Yeah, I love SSX. SSX is so good.
SSX ruled, man.
So
that
good.
That was another PS2, like, oh, here's a reason to own this system.
At launch. SSX.
But it's also a part of EA's short-sightedness, as is Def Jam. Like, this is going to be based around music. Can you re-release it? Like, not without an extra $800,000. Can we re-release this?
Just having that Tricky song in there. Yeah.
Having a Run DMC song. Like, you're dealing with, like, 2 estates at this point. So, good luck. Good luck to you.
Yeah. I get why, though. Like Steep is good. I don't know that Steep was, like, where EA would need like an SSX game to hit sales wide.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so like maybe that's why EA's been hesitant to try to reboot the franchise. Cause the last one they did that was a little bit more open world. Like I don't think a lot of people were into that one and played it much. So it's been a while.
It was good, but it was very sterilized. It was very like,
yeah. When
EA
you go
product.
From Tricky, which is like fucking just extreme craziness.
I want
like,
I want fireworks. I want crazy characters. Yeah. Like,
I want a
that
pinball
was super
level.
Fun.
I want to snowboard through a pinball level. I can trick you.
I feel that.
Yeah, and EA's incorrect board. Like, it should be more real and fucking gritty. Like, gritty. Was that what was fun for Tony Hawk?
That's what was fun in 2006 for everyone.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Everyone was dark and gritty.
Yeah.
Except
even
for something
snow
like Despink.
Was brown in 2006.
SSX is the right answer. Thank you, Matt, for feeding me.
Yeah. I'm happy. I got more. Anyone want System Shock? I'll assign you System Shock, too.
That they just
never
got
made
a remake.
That.
Yeah, that's already back.
Road Rash. Who wants Road Rash?
Me! I love Road Rash so much!
I'll take Despink for 2000.
Despink. Oh my
I
God.
Like Despink. I played that shit.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to pay for a really expensive Flash game, that's the one.
Yeah, I think with Def Jam, I read something recently about, like, why is this not doable? And
it was the musician. Like, even me getting, like...
Yeah. But I forget who it was that was quoted, but said that, like, yeah, back when this was made, we all really, really wanted to be in a game. And we all wanted to be in it so bad that we, like, took not a lot of money for it. Mm-hmm. And now we'd actually want some real money. And so it's like it's harder once everybody wants to get
now
paid.
Everybody in that game is a grandfather.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We don't need Joe Budden to get money. I think he can sit on the corner.
it is music licensing is more expensive than ever. Mm-hmm. And while music is more worthless than ever. But
that's probably
music,
why licensing it costs so much money, because nobody, like, Spotify is not bringing in the big bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Not for artists, at least.
No. All right, you said
That's all got to go to Joe Rogan so he can promote how to kill Chinese people. Please listen to 302010 this week. God, Joe Rogan is the worst.
All right. So what is an EA franchise you want to bring back? Let us know. Go to the official Laser Time community on Facebook. There'll be a thread there where you can answer. Or ping us on Twitter, Threads, or Blue Sky. We are at all three of those places at VG Apocalypse, and we will collect the answers and read them on next week's show. That has been our show. Let's go out some plugs. Emmett, once again, where can people find you? Is there anything you'd like to plug and draw people's attention to?
Of course, EJSpun61 on any internet platform. Like you said, I'm on Threads. I'm on Blue Sky. I'm on not Twitter, I guess. I'm on all those places and more. Trying to get some things together. Welcome to the Thing is still going out every couple weeks, so check out for new episodes of that. Spoonful Podcast is still doing its thing. VGU.TV, we're still putting up shows, and actually I did a bunch of Steam Next Fest demos lately, so on VGU.TV's YouTube channel you can see me play some Ultros, see me play some the Zao Legends of Runeterra game. I don't know if I'm saying it right. I played a lot of really cool demos. Mullet Mad Jack is really awesome.
Yeah,
things like that are coming out. Trying to work on some other things that I want to do later in the year. I got an idea for a certain series I did like 2 or 3 years ago. I'm trying to do another iteration of that. Ooh. And it's kind of tied into whether or not Titanfall 2 is still my favorite game of all time. So maybe you'll hear about that in a couple months. We'll see. But yeah, just trying to live life and do good at it.
Attaboy.
Nice. That was the one with Abubakar Salim, right?
Yes, that is the one.
Origins guy. Yeah, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, that game is really cool. That's really awesome. Looking forward to it.
Listen to 302010, patreon.com/lasertime. We've been doing 80s in depth, which is sort of like a 302010 portion that is, 40 years old usually. I think Michael will agree with me. I think the three most influential movies to video games, period, are The Warriors. Another one I forgot.
Escape from New York.
It is Escape from New York. That's what we're talking about. Escape from New York, it feels like Levels. You wonder why John Carmack doesn't want to make movies and likes video games. Escape from New York feels like a game the whole time.
Did you mean John Carpenter?
Yeah, you said John Carmack. What'd I say?
John Carmack? I'm drunk. I'm tired. Leave me alone. It's 3 a.m.
I don't think John Carmack wants to make video games anymore either. So.
Yeah, that's true.
If we can get the best content out of my drunkenness, you go ahead. But I was wrong. And
no, that was one of those where you made me question my knowledge. I'm like, what did I miss about Carmack? Is there a new news story?
No, yeah. John Carpenter hired this unnamed little long-haired Indian kid, and I don't know. My digestion is the blackest race
to
it.
What's the third movie? Is it Rambo?
I bet it's The Matrix?
No, shit. Aliens. Aliens.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense.
Like, sure. like playing Helldivers to this day is like, riddled with Aliens references. More so than Starship Troopers references, which is what it is aping most. And Aliens, Warriors, and Escape from New York. I understand if you don't want to see movies that are old and blah, 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 if you're a young listener, but those are the most influential to games, in my opinion. And we've never done an Escape from New York episode. And it's beyond the snake aspect. It is a video game. John Carpenter made great video games before he had a medium. And you remember that the Kurt Russell's flying in and to this computer looking that is a model with
reflective tape.
It's amazing. Like he wanted to make a game before he could make a game, and Escape from New York is so cool. So patreon.com/lasertime supports this show, all our other shows. Thank you. Blah, blah, blah.
Bingo, bingo.
Matt, anything?
I just want to be left alone so I can play Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Leave me alone.
Fair enough. Well, as always, visit us at the official Lasertime community on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Threads, and Bisky at VG Apocalypse. Follow me personally at Wikiparaz, WIKIPARAZ. That's been our show. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Woot!
So like,
show, give me credit. I did not sing Tag Team's Woot, There It Is once.
I thought that was going to be the break song. I was ready to go into that one.